Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Blue Shirt Banner Radio. It is Tuesday night, January 26th, and we got a lot to talk about tonight, and none of it good. None of it good. Let me bring my partner in. Eddie, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well under the circumstances. I'm flying high again, as Ozzy Osbourne once said. So, I'm still recovering, and yes, there's a lot to talk about, not much of which is positive, but we must press on, as I always say.
That's right. 2 hours might not be enough to fit it all in. You know, I hate to start it off this way, but you know, this is getting ridiculous. Last week we had the show. We were excited. They had the two big wins, the Montreal, the turnaround against Montreal, and they came back to win 6-2 after coming out flat, and they had a big game against the Lightning. They scored 8 goals, and we had the show last week. Everybody was excited. Everybody, you know, this is, you know, maybe we're turning this around. Everybody's getting pumped up, and now here we are a week later, nothing. I mean, they've scored 2 goals in 3 games, both by Artem Anisimov. I mean, it's just all the nice things we had to say about this team last week, just flush them right down the crapper. You know, we had nice things to say about Callahan, Dubinsky. They haven't scored since. I mean, it's just Jekyll and Hyde. We just keep saying it week after week. We have no idea what's going on with this team. You got the coach fighting with the reporters. You got your star player getting the crap kicked out of him by the Flyers goon. You got the media's in an uproar over some Alex Kotelik rumor that floated around the internet last week. Where do you want to start, Eddie? Where do we start?
Wow. Well, I guess, you know, I was one of the guys last week when we talked about it. You know, everybody was ecstatic that the Rangers were sticking up for each other and thought we had turned the corner after some really nice wins where we put the puck in the net. And, you know, some of us wily veterans, even you, I mean, you summed it up with Jekyll and Hyde. Said, you know, we know the history of this team, and there's pain around the corner. And, boy, was a lot of pain. I mean, we took a whipping. And, you know, Gabrick hadn't scored in 10 games, Jim. I mean, you know, I'm not going to put the onus on him. But it seems that teams have figured out that if you shut him down, whatever defenseman they say, whether it's a Markov or whatever defenseman on each team is pegged to the assignment with him, perhaps that's the key to beating the Rangers. They just can't score. And, you know, we're back to, you know, secondary scoring. We're talking about it all again, you know. Anisimov gets both goals. As you mentioned, Dubinsky and Callahan. I mean, you knew Callahan and was going to cool off for a bit, you know, but Ryan gives you so much more. I don't know. You know, I didn't watch the game. I was on Paulie D's show last night, so I saw the first period. From what I heard, the Rangers tied the game up, or went ahead. Were they up 2-1?
They were up 2-1.
Yeah, did they have the lead for like 30 seconds or?
It was one of those situations. Yeah, I mean it was 2-1. The Garden was alive, and then Pittsburgh tied it at 2, and you just the way they're playing right now, you knew when Pittsburgh made it 2-2. You knew the game was over. You knew it was just a matter. I mean, that's the way you got to feel right now when you watch this team. All of a sudden, I mean, last week, you know, it's a roller coaster. It's just it's out of control. They are just out of control right now. Last week, we were so high last week. Now here we are back in the doldrums. And who knows? They got the worst team in hockey coming into the Garden tomorrow night, and God only knows what's going to happen with them.
Yeah, well. Yeah, the Carolina club, they have their own thing to deal with, and let's hope they can get the win. You know, with all this nonsense going around today, I mean, we're still tied for the eighth seed, which I find we're still in the playoff race, which shows you how mediocre this league has become because
Well, he's we really Eastern Conference.
Eastern Conference, rather.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just shows you that, you know, for all the crapola, for the lack of a better word, that we've gone through, there's still a chance. And, you know, I just don't get it as far as they talk to Tortorella. He says he doesn't have the answers. I read today in Larry Brooks' column. Yes, I read Larry Brooks' column. Kill me, because I read Larry Brooks. He talked to Prospel, and Prospel says he doesn't have the answers. And who the hell has the answers? If the coach and the players don't have the answers, we surely don't have the answers. And I'm starting to think we don't have the horses. We do not have the horses to take what it takes to win games. I mean, yeah, the Rangers compiled points over that stretch. But, I mean, to win games. You know, win 4 or 5 in a row where you look like you're the better team hands down. What do you think about that, Jim?
Well, yeah, it's impossible to argue with you. You know, night in, night out, I was thinking about this before, and I just can't recall either one of the other teams that I've rooted for, or the Giants and the Mets, I can't recall either one of them ever having any kind of season like this, where they just looked, you know, where they would come out one night and just play, you know, like championship hockey. And there's no, I mean, you know, let's face it, that's the way, you know, that is the way they played. I know it was the Tampa Bay Lightning, but they did everything perfectly last week against the Lightning. And I don't understand how they can go through 2 or 3 game stretches where they play like that, and then they just forget everything. They just forget everything they've learned, everything they've taught. I mean, I don't understand how you go from 1 minute you're standing up for everybody, Wade friggin' Redden is dropping the gloves to fight, and then the next minute you're letting your star, your $35 million man, get the crap kicked out of him by Carcillo on the Flyers. I don't understand it. It's like, You remember Tom Hanks on Saturday Night Live when he did Short Term Memory Guy?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's like what this team is. It's like they get taught something, and they learn it for 3 days, and they forget it. They forget it for 3 games, and then they remember it for 2 games, and then they forget it for 4 games, and then they remember it for 4 games. I'm at a loss. I really am. I don't know what else to say about this team. BB Maven in the house. Nice to see him tonight.
Yes,
Paulie D has joined the chat room. Everybody wants to vent. We already got we got people on the switchboard already. Everybody's fired up tonight. And let me look this up for a second. I want to see because Jackie just mentioned simply JB just mentioned something in the
her name is Jen, by the way.
Jen. Oh yeah, I got it. I always get confused.
He's real pissed when you start calling different names.
Oh, well, I apologize. I get her confused with Jackie. She shows up and, you know, people just use nicknames. Anyway, okay. The The rally that I was talking to you about, I thought for some reason I thought it was tomorrow night before the game. It is Sunday, March 7th. Why you're waiting until March 7th to have this rally, I have no idea. But Sunday, March 7th, they are organizing on Facebook a Fire Glenn Sather rally outside Madison Square Garden before the Rangers-Buffalo game at 5 o'clock. Sunday, March 7th at 5 o'clock. I don't know why wait 6 weeks. Won't the trading deadline have passed by then? I mean, couldn't we be further screwed by then?
That's what I guess they're figuring. That'll be when the angry mob will be at its hottest with the pitchforks. You know, when they chase Frankenstein. That's how it's gonna be. The angry mob outside MSG. I'll be there. I'll cover it live. I'm going to show up, but what is it going to do? They say it's probably not even in the country. Probably in the Swiss Alps, yodeling.
Yodeling?
Oh. I don't know. I just threw it out there. Who knows what I'm talking about half the time. Yesterday, I was talking on Paulie D's show. I listened back to it. Talking about Colin Wilson and how he hates Atlanta, and I go, he plays on Nashville. I'm like, what a stonata. I feel like a moron on the show, but you know, sometimes I just say things and just fall flat. So anyway, so you sound really flat, Jim. I've never heard you this flabbergasted. Usually, I'm the one that's maybe it's because I was talking with Paulie and way late into the Rangers and Jan Girardi, but you sound truly miffed.
Paulie gave you your release last night. Building. It's frustrating. I have no idea what Frosty with the Let's Go Mets in the chat room. Yeah, there's where you want to hang your hat, Frosty. Love the Gary Matthews trade, Frosty. Anyway, they're just maddening. They are so goddamn frustrating right now. I mean, to play the way they've played these last couple of games, I mean, that Flyers game, I mean, we'll get into that as the night goes along. But then, you know, and after the way they got pushed around against the Flyers, wouldn't that make you mad? Eddie Murphy doing the Richard Pryor the impression, but wouldn't that make you mad? If you were and a bunch of your friends when you were teenagers and you went down to this other neighborhood to play street hockey or softball or basketball or tackle football or whatever, and you got your ass handed to you, 21-0 or 35-0 or whatever, and you got pushed around, and wouldn't that piss you off? Wouldn't you want to go back down there the next day and beat the shit out of, excuse my language, whoever was in front of you?
My God! The language! Jim, you really are. You're going crazy. I have not heard you throw expletives around since the Blue Shirt United rant. And when we watched that Allen game together.
Wouldn't you get mad? Wouldn't you get pissed off? Wouldn't you want to take it out on the next person in front of you? No?
Yes.
So then they go to Montreal and they get beat even worse. I don't get it. I mean, 6-0. Poor Matt Zappa had to go in there and make his NHL debut mopping up for Lundqvist, who looked like crap. The Bell Center's become a house of horrors for him every time they go up there to play. And that's not to blame him for the four goals. Some of it was his fault. Some of it was the defense. He had no help in front of him. And Zappa just basically got thrown to the wolves, and they weren't much better in front of him, if at all. He gave up another two goals. I mean, I don't get it. Where's the personal pride on this team? When did somebody I guess Avery stood up the other day and said, you know, we're not competitive. We're prepared, but we're not competitive. And, you know, we kind of blasted the team, but when do you start to take a little personal pride? I'm sick of getting my ass kicked out here. What am I gonna, you know? I don't get it.
Well, that seems to be every Ranger fan. I'm only laughing because I'm hurt, and that's why I'm laughing. But a lot of Ranger fans have been saying like, that he, you know, they just don't get it. And as a fan, you just don't get it. Now, I want to pose this question to you. I can't remember. Now, this isn't baseball, where a goaltender
Did you see what Mandart just put in the chat room? Next week's
what?
Guest, the FCC. Sorry.
I don't think they have any. I mean, listen, we've said a lot worse on this show.
We are unregulated here.
We're unregulated, and that's the way it's going to be. We're not soft-soaping you here like on MSG. That runs. Now, I want to say this isn't like baseball where you got to send a pitcher down to get innings if he's not getting innings. What are they doing with the goaltending? They got to send – if that game would have meant anything. When Matt Sava got thrown into the Lions there, baptism by fire, as I call it, say if the Rangers would have come back in that game and it had – you're stuck with Matt Sava in it. I'm sorry. Zappa-dabba-do is a dabba-dabba-don't. He's not a good goaltender. And this all was caused because they had to send – playing this musical chairs with the backup goaltender, just keep one guy up. Chad Johnson played well enough that we know he can play if asked to. Whether he can play consecutive games, I don't know. But to have Matt Zappa, who I think is absolutely, I'm not going to say absolutely, but he is not an NHL goaltender. And the kid played admirably in the game. Kudos to you, Matty, but once again, the Rangers got stuck with another John Tortorella bad decision. Why? I have never seen such shuffling of these goaltenders. Listen, they get enough shots in practice. You know, you just got to be mentally ready. If you're going to be a backup goalie, you got to have to sit on the pond. As a backup goaltender, you don't see Tuukka Rask getting sent down or Antti Niemi getting sent down in between games. To become a very good backup goaltender, you've got to play with the team. You got to get acquainted with your defensemen, too. And it's just another buffoon move by Tortorella, overmanaging, taking care of things that are meaningless, as far as I'm concerned. This is tedium. There's much bigger fish to fry.
Well, I understand why the shuffling of the goaltenders so that they can get Chad Johnson as many starts as possible. I mean, you know, this kid he's had very little professional experience before this year, so they're trying to get him the maximum, amount of starts in a professional hockey game that they can. I get that. But the problem is, when you have a night like you had the other night, you know, once again, this organization, this team, they get caught with their pants down. And, you know, and they had to throw poor Matt Zappa in there, who, you know, he's not Again, he didn't get much. He didn't get any more help from his defense than Henrik did. But you know, he is what he is. You know, on that subject, they're talking about Valiquette. Have you noticed we haven't heard a word about Steven Valiquette since he was sent to the AHL, except that first weekend that he got bombed out? We haven't heard a word about him. Nobody's asking like when he's coming back, if he's coming back. I mean, he's just been. It's like he's become persona non grata, and that's not to say that Steven Valiquette was any great shakes either. But it's just it was like they couldn't wait to get him out of New York, and now that he's gone, nobody wants to know from him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Ricky says he's bombing. I checked his numbers the other day; they weren't awful, it's just strange. And you know, again, you know, all you've seen, the Flyers have gone out and signed several, you know, veteran goaltenders this season. Why haven't the Rangers, you know, so that they don't get caught in these situations like they did the other night in Montreal?
That was embarrassing. Amongst the embarrassments, let's face it, I mean, it's been an embarrassment fest following this team last week or so, or the whole year, really. It's been, I can't remember such a tumultuous year where we don't know what the hell is going on. I mean, there's no team identity. If you ask me what the Rangers are about, I couldn't even tell you. I mean, you had one guy who was scoring, now he's not scoring. You have a world-class goaltender that will keep you in most games. That's about it. That's all I can say. I can't keep up who's up and who's down in the backup goaltending. I got too much. I'm doing, you know, 2-3 radio shows a day. I have a burgeoning political career, running for U.S. Senate. There's a lot of things that are on my plate. And when I saw Matt Zabba, or Zabbatron as he's known, come in, I said, Matt Zabba? Are you kidding me? And we at the Bell Center in Montreal, and I'm like, oh, man, they're going to score bucket loads on this kid. And the kid played well. He did what he had to do. And like you said, the Rangers didn't give him much support. That was embarrassing.
I have a little bit of Rangers news here. We got a transaction update from the Rangers. Are you ready?
Traded?
Are you ready? This isn't just in, but earlier today, Chad Johnson has been recalled from the Hartford Wolfpack, and Matt Zabba has been assigned to Hartford.
Gotta be kidding me. See? Now at least I'll know tomorrow night. Come on. They can't bring up Dane Byers or somebody up to get somebody new blood up here? And now I hear P.A. Parenteau's out with a concussion. He heard he was going to be on this show, and
he hit his head on the toilet at Mitch Beck's house.
Mitch Beck probably food poisoned him by mistake.
He was doing his laundry at Mitch Beck's house, and he heard he was going to be on the show and hit his head on the dryer.
We love you, Mitch. We like the kid. We shit because we love.
We
I'm
do.
I'm not sure we love
do.
You, but we did you. But, it's just a mess. And, guys, I said it yesterday. I'm going to say it again because we have a whole new, bunch of new people here listening tonight. What happened in that Philadelphia game, and although it wasn't as bad as I know some of you guys don't remember, but the Dale Rolfe, Dave Schultz incident, which is infamous in Ranger lore, and also a play I know Frosty and Mandar and perhaps you, Jim, and some of the other guys remember when Brian Leetch, when Pat Verbeek attacked him. Nothing was done. But to me, what Dan Girardi didn't do is inexcusable. I understand, he may have frozen a little bit, but upon further review, there was enough time to think, listen, you've got to defend this guy. He's 25% of your offense. He's a teammate. You break bread with the guy. You skate with him every day. You travel everywhere. You know he's not a fighter. You just got to take matters into your own hands with some on-ice violence. And that's what was called for, and it wasn't done. And I said this before, if this would have happened in Toronto with, on hockey night in Canada, the whole country would be up in arms that Girardi didn't do something if he was playing for the Leafs or something like that. This is just something in the demeanor, and I really feel that the Rangers defensemen especially do not have a demeanor of meanness. They don't have a mean bone in their body, which makes them great human beings, but terrible teammates when Henrik Lundqvist is getting run or you're watching your highest paid skill player, most productive skill player, getting beat up by some punk, some dope who really made a beeline to Gaborik. He did not just wind up by Gaborik by accident. This was thought out. It was premeditated. And you have to jump. I don't care about the rules. I don't care about what, in the back you're worrying about fines, the third man in. It's time for utter mayhem. There should have been mayhem. There wasn't. I'm just going to conclude by saying, I said this, I watched the game with 300 Ranger fans at that viewing party, and we were all sick. It was all over. We had a great night when that happened, and it would have been at the Garden. I don't know what they would have done at the Garden had that happened. I really don't. There might have been a riot. I don't know what would have happened if Girardi wouldn't have. And the fact, Dan Girardi is a good defenseman. He's not great. The guy, I would have had him gone the next day. But I'm a reactionary. I don't know. What's your take on it, Jim? I mean, you know, I said it about as calmly as I can right now, because I can go on for an hour about this. But what's your take on it, Jim?
Did you see the highlights of the Capitals game the other night? Ovechkin was ready to drop the gloves, and I don't remember with who. Did you happen to catch that? He was ready to drop the gloves. He had dropped his gloves. He was ready to fight, and out of nowhere, Matt Bradley came flying in. Matt Bradley, who I'm sure you remember, scored two goals against the Rangers, came down out of the press box to score two goals against the Rangers in, I think it was game six of the playoffs last year. Just came flying in and mm-hmm. took matters into his own hands. Ovechkin was ready to fight, but Bradley understood the magnitude of Ovechkin getting into a fight and jumped in and took the risk. That's what you have to do. You can't stand there and let a guy you pay $7.5 million a year, who, like Eddie said, is 25% of your offense, you can't let him stand there and drop the gloves with anybody. I don't care if it's a blind nun from Yonkers. You can't let him drop the gloves. That's not what he's there for. Anybody. I don't care. You know, it doesn't even have to be. It doesn't have to be Donald Brashear. It doesn't have to be Aaron Voros. Anybody. It could be anybody. I don't give a crap if it's Sean Avery. Jump up on his head if you have to, and just start pulling his hair. Anything. You don't let your superstar take that kind of beating. And then he got a penalty, which I didn't understand. He got 2 minutes for being a punching bag.
Yeah, well. And Prosper, I get in this interview. I'm just going to jump back to the interview with Larry Brooks. He said, and he might get in trouble for saying this, but he said the answer is not to have one of our tough guys go after Carcillo. The answer was have one of our guys, our tough guys, go after Daniel Briere. That was the answer. Yeah, okay, they missed the opportunity at the time to rectify the situation. But how about we got Aaron Voros? He mugs Jeff Carter. He mugs Daniel Briere. There were plenty of ways to send the message that you cannot touch our skilled player, a guy who's very fragile, folks. I know he wasn't getting punched in the groin. We felt like we were getting punched in the groin. I know we were taking him to the dome, but he tweaks something, it's over. They should be treating this guy like fine China. If he's touched, they got to jump in. Punch first. Ask questions later. Ramifications later. I've been using the word disgrace, but, you know, I've used it so much, I don't know if there was ever any grace with this team to be disgraced. It's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing as a fan. I was sitting next to a guy, and I'll finish up here with a Boston Bruin fan, a guy who actually roomed with Glenn Sather and Derek Sanderson, this gentleman, older gentleman, and he says, don't you get tired of seeing this as a Ranger fan? Every team knows this that's been around, these original six teams, about the embarrassing history of the Rangers just being, I hate the word soft has been thrown around, but it's softness. I'm done.
End the show.
End the show.
Back up the truck. Close the bridge. where is the pride? Where's the soul on this team? I don't get it. I don't get it. Where
you said
is
it
the,
again.
The,
I don't get it.
I don't know how else to put it. Where is the soul? Who is the heart and soul of this team? You know, who's the heartbeat on this team? You know, I hate to keep going back to it, but, you know, in the 90s, in the early 90s, not even the 90, just the 94 team, but you know who the soul of the team was. You knew who, you know, Graves and Leach and those guys. You know, you had four or five guys on those teams that wouldn't have stood for this kind of crap. Bookaboom wouldn't have stood. Take it in. Guys like that wouldn't have stood for it. Larmer, Verbeek,
well,
after those guys.
Well, how about some stand-up guys like Kamensky and Quintal?
God.
I'm trying to break this. I mean, you know, no, I understand. Who is, I mean, obviously Chris Drury is, I don't know.
Where's he? Where is he through all of this? Where's he jumping on somebody's head? I know.
Yeah.
Quiet leader. Quiet leader.
Right. Those are the little things.
There was Joe wrote an article on Blue Shirt Banter today about why he should be the captain, and quite frankly, I'm tired of the discussion on him. So I don't even want to talk about it because I'm tired of the debate, I'm tired of the argument. Anyway, phone calls tonight 646-478-4692. I know we had been promising you Ron Greshner for about a month. He has flown the coop. We were unable to nail him down. So
I tried to reach Ron the last 3 days, and apparently he is, I don't know, he's busy with something else. I'm sure we'll get back to him. Something must have happened because Ron's usually good that way. How do I know if he's usually good that way? I never dealt with him before, but he was on Paulie D's show, so I figure he'll do anybody's show after that. Or maybe that scared him. I don't know, but only kidding, Paul. He loved the show and loved to be on. I don't want to talk about Drury. I don't. Do you want to go to a phone call, or would you like to? I have a kind of a.
We got a nice full chat room. So before we take calls, while we have the maximum of you available, let's just run through a few quick things, and we'll do it again before the end of the show, but. Next Tuesday night, which is February 2nd, next Tuesday night, 8 o'clock show, Emil Francis. And I know Emil will be there. He is all set. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm also going to, and I know this will happen because I talked to the gentleman, I'm going to try to get Jerry Eskenazi, who was a Ranger beat writer for the Rangers in the 60s and 70s. And we're going to surprise Emil with that because they definitely had a good relationship, and Jerry knows a lot of stuff. He really is a historian. And we probably can parlay it into a John Halligan type thing because both of them knew John well. So, Emil's going to be he's going to be a freight train.
Anybody that heard Emil the last time we had him on the show knows that he is as entertaining as they come, and that was probably our best show. It's certainly my favorite, so definitely looking forward to having him back on. That'll be next Tuesday night. Now, when I scheduled Emil for next Tuesday night, I forgot that it's a very important night for those of us that watch TV. That is the season premiere for the final season of Lost. So I hope you have TiVo and set your TiVo for Lost, which is what I will do. And we'll listen to Emil, and then we can all go watch Lost and talk about it the following week. So I apologize for that. I would not. The whole team is going to be on.
The whole team will be there. Matt Bass will show up. Where am I supposed to be? The time machine. Am I up with the team?
Brashear skates like the three-toed statue. So I apologize for that. When I scheduled Emil for next week, I completely forgot what night it was, but that's what TiVo is for. So set your TiVos. Make sure you listen to the show. Emil will be on, and and that's that. Now, we also have a couple of things going on this week. Tomorrow at what time are you starting tomorrow? 5:30?
5:30 to
7. 5:30, the Blue Shirt Banner Radio Ranger Rally.
Whatever.
Put on your rally cap, your rally monkey, and rendezvous with Eddie, and I guess Mandar will be with him.
Yep.
And I'll probably call in on my way home from work. And so make sure you check that out. Saturday afternoon, before the Rangers play the Coyotes, we'll be on the air probably, I think the game starts at 8 o'clock East Coast time. So we'll go on the air at 6 o'clock with a pregame show, and I'll be live in the parking lot at the Jobbing.com Arena getting ready for the Rangers and Yodis. And then Sunday, a personal appearance from my partner, Eddie. Why don't you tell him about it?
Well, for all you people living on Long Island, I know it's the home of the Islanders, the home of the not-so-brave, but I will be at the Center Reach VFW Hall in Center Reach, Long Island. There's a card show going on there, a sports trading card show. I have a booth or a table, so to speak. I sell only Ranger cards. I do not sell Islander cards. I do have a smattering of Devil cards, mostly Zach Parise, basically because there are a lot of Devil fans who are seeking those cards. But if you come on down, I give you a deal. I got Delzato rookies, Anisimov rookies, Gilroy rookies, Callahan rookies, Davinsky rookies, no Envalisan rookies, and positively no Aaron Voros rookies, and Henrik Lundqvist rookie cards, which I know Andrew SFL, who's in the chat room, he is a big-time card collector. And,
Ricky wants to
know
if you sell some Puka Pucks.
Bring them down. You know, people still love, they still love Puka. You know, send a couple to me. We'll do a consignment deal. Nothing. But, yeah, I'll be there, and I'll be there from about 9 to 4. Come on down if you're in the area. We'll talk Ranger Park. We'll have fun. We'll laugh at Islander fans. We'll do what I do best. And anybody who mentions Blue Shirt Banner Radio and says, "You, the mouse," gets a 20% discount. Wow. I'm hawking my wares on internet radio.
20%?
20%.
Price is so low, he's practically giving it all away.
They're insane. Okay.
All right. Why don't we take a couple of phone calls. Let's start with the 718-225. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this? It's nobody. Let's try it again. There you go, 718-225, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Eddie. Who's this?
Stan.
Stan.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Stan, how
from
are you?
Bayside. We can hear you. Poor,
I'm doing
poor
right.
Stan. Calls us in a couple weeks ago, everything was going good. Calls us back, everything's crap.
Oh, yeah. Right down the toilet. So right now, I'm really hoping that our fearless leader, Slats, doesn't do anything crazy by the trade deadline.
Are you kidding me?
Now, why would you think that?
Man is, do you realize some of the teams that are ahead of the Rangers in the standings? Nashville? How is Nashville have a better organization than the Rangers? They lose players every year. I mean, it's ridiculous. How inept is this man?
I don't know why that makes me laugh. How inept is this man? I have to tell you, it's endless. It's endless. It's just a bottomless pit of ineptness.
I'll tell you, the most valuable player or person in the whole organization is Gordy Clark. I hope that he should get it. Without him, forget about it.
Oh, yeah. He's done a wonderful job with these draft picks. I mean, and really picking some great guys. But I feel like I'm starting to feel like others feel that I don't think Glenn Seder is even in town. I don't think the owner. We have an absentee landlord in Dolan, as far as I'm concerned, and we have an absentee GM. I think he's surrounded himself with the Riseboroughs and the Schoenfelds, and they're running the ship, and he's off in Banff, you know, smoking Cubans. But I did have a gut feeling the other night. It was last night, actually, and it wasn't indigestion. I think the Rangers are going to make a move. I mean, I know we said we reported that the Kotalik was going to go, but I think there's going to be a change, and that scares me because of what you said earlier, Stan, about the ineptness. You know,
I mean, so. You shudder to think he might get rid of, you know, Stepan or Grachev and bring in some, you know, over the hill guy who's just going to, you know, shore him up for 2 months.
Right. To make that frantic run to the eighth playoff seed.
Yeah, and then get knocked out in four.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, without Lundqvist, yesterday was the worst game I think he's had this year. Without him, this is probably the worst team in the league. I mean, he saves their bacon almost every night.
A great point. Yeah. I mean, it's a great point. If you don't have the elite goaltending, and I know some people disagree with us, but hey, they're in the minority, we're in the majority, and we're better than them. But, he's an elite, world-class goaltender, and without him, you're right. We might just be the Carolina Hurricanes, you know, that we're playing tomorrow. I mean, our season could be over, would be over for all intended purposes. So, yeah, that's a great point. You know, we take it for granted as Ranger fans that he's going to be there every night. But if we didn't have this guy in net, we'd be in a whole lot of trouble.
I mean, I think he
a whole lot.
You know, until the Montreal game, I think he had gone 10 straight games without giving up with 2 goals in a game. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
And I think he lost about 6 or 7 of those because the Rangers don't score. I mean, it's crazy.
Hey, man, I'm looking at Avery's stats. What, he got 6 goals?
And he's got two-goal games. So 4 of those 6 goals have been scored in 2 games.
I mean, he's better than that. Why isn't he better than that? I don't know.
Why aren't any of them better? I mean, how many guys on that team can you honestly say are overachieving? Or achieving at their or playing up to what is considered their potential? How many? Besides Lundqvist and Gavrik.
You gotta say, Callahan has done what he needs to do. I'd like to see him not go 15 games without a goal, but he got over that.
Higgins was overachieving. Man, Doc.
Oh, you know, I don't even know there, but you know what? Michael Delzato has played well, but, you know, I looked at his plus minus. I know you guys debate whether it's a minus 16. I think he's the worst on the team. But he's 19 years old.
Yeah, I mean,
he plays 20 minutes a game on that team.
How does he suit up every night? Answer that one.
That's the thing you're saying. You bring up a great point. It seems like there's like a selective benching by Tortorella. He has his favorites. And I thought it was, first of all, most of us are from New York, or we're from New York, or we're Ranger fans. Don't give us a line of garbage in the beginning of the season, and then expect us to forget about it, or what you say in the beginning of the season, we're going to forget about it. We hold you to your word, and I remember him distinctly saying that people will play based on merit. Now, how can you tell me that Christopher Higgins shouldn't be up in the press box based on merit? I don't care if they say he's snake-bitten. He can't finish. He could finish in Montreal a little bit. He can't finish in New York. So he's finished. I think he's going to be one of the guys that goes.
There comes a time where you cross the line from being snake-bitten, you just stink.
Yeah, he can't finish. He makes poor choice.
Unfortunately, his contract's up, so you know he won't be back. At least I assume he won't be back.
If they re-sign him, I'll tell you.
But you look at some of these other guys who are going to be back for a couple of years. It's frightening.
Oh, jeez.
And then the thing with Higgins, who could you trade him to? Who wants a rental? A guy who's got 4 goals, 5 goals, you know, I don't know.
Just release him. Well, I mean, what kind of value can he have? But then again, they got... which I never believed how it happened, but they got a 5th-round draft pick for Ryan Holwig, which stunned me.
Yeah.
Give a draft pick for him.
Yeah, the mascot, Ryan Holwig. A lot of Rangers fans love Ryan Holwood, but I couldn't take him. Couldn't take him.
As talentless a hockey player as I've ever seen.
I mean, you like the guys who go 100%, give you their effort, but if they have no talent, there's no reason for them to be in the league. And with Leason, I still, for some reason, am holding on to the fact that I think he's gotten jobbed by the coaching staff. But it's apparent that, he's not developing, and I think Brian Boyle, who I thought they would score a little bit more, since he had a history at, I think it was New Hampshire he played in college, that he would be able to regain some of that, and he hasn't. I mean, he's just, two goals. You can go through the whole roster, Stan. The whole roster. I mean, it's just terrible. What's good? Right now, what's good? Somebody, tell me what's good.
There's only 30 games left. The Olympics is coming up.
That's great. That's great. And you know what the funny part is that if they win the next three games next Tuesday night, we'll be singing.
I won't. I told you.
I'm at the point. I'm actually hoping they really go into the tank already, because it's just an illusion. They'll win a couple,
right,
then they'll stink. I mean,
why tease us?
I think you said it earlier. They don't have the horses. That's it. They're not that good. Let's face facts.
No, they're not. They're not a good hockey. And the last one to know will be the Rangers organization. That's the thing. The Rangers organization will be the last person. They'll never admit that they are not a good organization. And I'm about to write an article, and I don't know who's going to publish it, because this is going to be pretty scathing on their organization. It's impotence with arrogance. I mean, they are impotent and they are arrogant, from the coach to the GM to the owner. They have nothing to show, nothing to be arrogant. Everybody's upset that Rex Ryan is, tooting his horn. He's a blowhard. At least they won something. The Rangers stink. And they've got such an ego about them. Such an ego. Nobody wants to admit a mistake. Everybody's right. Oh, we don't have signings after March 1st. They told... when Zippe asked him the question that that Ricky gave us the scoop that Kotalik was going to be traded. Oh, these internet rumors, they're so we don't have signings, personal appearances after March 1st. You can go to website. There's March 11th, Prospel and Delzato. What do they think? We don't have a computer? We can't look this up? This is the Stone Age? His agent is in London. Well, guess what? His agent doesn't handle his marketing. There's a different guy who does that.
And even if he was in London, they don't have phones in London?
Yeah.
Nobody's ever made a phone call from London?
I mean, I'm going to go off the rails here for a second on Zip Ahead. I was on that Twitter, yesterday, and some of the people in this chat room were there. I'm talking, and I'm saying, I actually I'm not saying. All right, I got to calm down. All right. I'm not saying that I am a bona fide reporter. As a matter of fact, I'm about as far from a bona fide reporter as you can get. I'm a Ranger fan, diehard, like everybody else out there. But when I talk Ranger hockey, I talk plainly. I know I'm who I'm talking to. I don't have to have an air about me. So we talk, we joke, we're on the Twitter. And the whole thing, and I'm talking, and I think Jen and I was talking, I was bantering with DB Maven, and all of a sudden, Steve Zippe, Zipperhead, tweets something about, the Kotalik trade has not been confirmed, it's not a done deal. Basically, he's seeing me tweet, back and forth, And he wants to take me a notch down, take Blue Shirt Banner Radio a notch down, BlueShirtBanner.com down, the whole internet, because the internet is there to demise. The internet is there to demise. The paper business is dead. Those dinosaurs are dying. We are the meteor that is coming down and going to kill all the dinosaurs. So this Zipperhead comes on there, and he's got to put his 2 cents in. How about this, Zippe? Just talk plainly. Don't talk in riddles. If you think that we invented this rumor, I could care less. Alice Kotalika, Al Escher, whatever you want to call him, he hasn't played in 6 games. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out he's going to be traded. He will be traded. We will be vindicated. And just shut up. That's it.
There you have it.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Stan. It's
quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Well, that's enough for me for tonight.
I'm sorry, Stan. I'll open and drive you away.
No, that's all right. All right, I'm out of here, guys.
Hey,
take care.
Hey, Stan, give us a call next week when Emil Francis is on.
Oh, the cat, one of my all-time faves.
There you go. Huh? We're going to have him on next week, 8 o'clock, Tuesday night.
Okay.
All right, talk to you then.
All right, good night, guys.
Good night.
That's good. Stand away.
I think you did a little bit. It's all right. You're a man of passion. You are a Ranger fan, and we are passionate. We are a passionate lot. And hey, all right. So you want to get all right? Let's get into this,
ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's not. Let's all right. We didn't talk about the Larry Brooks Torts thing that we want to talk about, but we will. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the Coda League thing while we're since you brought it up. Last week on the show we had Ricky on, and as you guys know, if you're regular listeners to the show, Ricky does a lot of promotions, a lot of signings, all kinds of stuff. And he told us a story about Coda League, and we actually ran the story on Blue Shirt Banner. And, you know, we didn't present it as fact. We didn't, you know, we just kind of relayed the story that Ricky told us here on the radio last week. And let me tell you, if you weren't paying attention, it sent the entire internet into a tailspin. We had three of the beat writers comment on the story. One of them, the aforementioned Steve Zipe. Our good friend Andrew Gross also talked about it, although not quite as scathingly as Zipe did. And Michael the Beaver Obenauer in the Daily News, he said he mentioned it too. He said Coda League denied asking for a trade, disputing the rumors that went on the internet because of a canceled autograph signing. So why don't we bring Ricky back in? Ricky, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, guys.
How are you? Good evening.
Good. How you doing, Jimmy?
Oh, we're doing good.
Yeah, how you doing?
So,
Don't make fun of me, mouth.
it was quite an anthill that we kicked up last week on the show and then on the website, and I saw the HF boards were going nuts about it and those guys, I don't know what you obviously don't have to pass an IQ test to get on that HF boards, man. I'm telling you, some of them.
The official banning of that board. I'm telling everybody to boycott that place.
You're calling for a boycott of the HF boards.
Absolutely. Wow. Because you know what? They don't respect you. They don't respect your website. They don't give you props. I've posted on there. I've linked stories from you guys on there. I've been suspended from it for doing so. And if they're not going to play nice and they're not going to respect what you guys do for the Rangers, then screw them and don't go to that site anymore, guys.
Well, you know what I thought was funny was that you sent me the link yesterday that Donnie over at Litterbox Cats had from the Ottawa Sun that the Florida Panthers might be interested in Coda League.
Right,
Right, but somebody linked that on the HF boards, and that was fine.
Right,
coming from the Florida Panthers website, they from their SB Nation site, that for some reason it seemed truthful to them. But coming from the Rangers site, we made it up. We don't know
right.
what we're talking about.
We made it up, and then the Ottawa Sun also went with something that I broke on here before anybody said it, was that Kovalik and Tortorella weren't getting along. Did you catch the last line where it said that due to you know, having problems with Coach John Tortorella, he's, you know, privately
right.
asked to be traded. So because it came
right.
from Ottawa, it must be true.
Well, go ahead. But the guy who broke the story, who wrote that story, he's a guy that doesn't have much credibility. As a matter of fact, I have more credibility than that guy. But, yeah.
Well, yes,
no,
definitely.
Let me tell you something with the HF boards. And I'm an HF board member. Like, you know, I'm like an affiliate guy. Like, they send me a lot of traffic. But what they – I'm going to say it right now. I could give a rat's ass if they even affiliated with me anymore. Because what they have – they have a couple good moderators over there. They're really nice guys and are really embracing just everybody as a Ranger family. But you got a couple guys over there who think their shit don't stink, who think they're so unhappy that they're not in the know, or they're out of the loop, or the focus isn't on them, or they're on some power trip. They're giving Ricky a hard time. He has gone on that I don't know how many times your posts have been deleted, banned, whatever. And I know, you know, it's just a hockey forum, but we're supposed to be all Ranger fans. Why is it competitiveness? I mean, really, drop your egos at the door. We're the only ones out here, and the fans are listening to this show. And on all the boards, outside the Garden Fish, let's just post anything we want there. I mean, you know, he doesn't care. He knows it's all about the Ranger fan. Leave your ego at the door. It's just nonsense. It's people on power trips. Enough. Who cares?
Fish is a good guy. Fish is a good guy. He's been on this show.
Yeah, Fish is fantastic. He doesn't care. He's not making any money. He just, you know, he's a wacky Australian who loved the Rangers. God bless
him. Jimmy, a couple weeks ago, I sent it to Mouth. I didn't have your email at the time, and I just went on the HF boards and I wrote this big thing about the radio show and just basically how if you're a Ranger fan with any kind of credibility, not like a 9-to-5 Ranger fan, but a guy who bleeds Rangers like we do, that you really got to come on this show. And I think it was right after, if I'm wrong now, correct me, but I think it was after the first Emil Francis show. And just what a great show it was and how much fun it was to just talk to a hero of mine from being a little kid and everything. And I put it up there and they actually gave me violation points for mentioning your website and the radio show. And I was lucky I had sent Mouth the copy before they took it down. And it was just this guy over here, and Mouth, which I'm so pissed off right now, I don't even know the moderator's name I'm angry at. You know who I'm talking about.
Is it the guy who's got
the one I told you was
sure.
NYPD.
Yeah, that guy's a schmo.
Yeah, I'd like to crack his skull with a broken hockey stick, all right? Because
no violence here. Don't
you know, it's just frustrating because, you know what, Jimmy, during the preseason, I got suspended on there because I got a phone call that Donald Brashear signed with the Rangers 24 hours before anybody else knew, and I put it up there, and I got this, you're not a friggin' credible source, stop posting rumors, we're going to ban your account. 12 hours later, front page of the Daily News, Donald Brashear signs with the New York Rangers. You know what? Alex Kovalik, they took my money. They wanted to do an autograph signing. They wanted to give them to me for a price that I didn't haggle. I paid. I got a phone call back. They don't want to do the signing. He's not going to be here. Do you think I just have nothing better to do than to pull this out of my butt? You know what? I'm a businessman. I ain't looking to piss the Rangers off. I'm not looking to piss off players. My business is basically all word of mouth. You know what? I've done a bunch of signings. I've done Aaron Voros, Peter Pruka, Stephen Valiquette, Brandon Dubinsky, Nick Fatu. These guys over the years all walk away saying my business is great. I can't afford to have the business get a bad name. They canceled on me. So why would I make this up? I sent the guy a credible source afterwards. He writes me back an email. He couldn't even spell the word follow. So you know what? The New York reporters was something we teased about months ago. They're listening to this show. They don't understand the heartbeat of the Rangers because the Rangers are being run like a concentration camp right now. You're not allowed to talk about them. They've taken the voice of the public away. The newspaper reporters, the TV reporters are afraid of Sather. They don't even know where he is, when he is. Neil Smith was on Ranger TV once every 2 weeks when he was GM, giving us an update of prospects, talking about his mom, watching games. The Rangers have no personality, and that's how they want it to be, and that's what Sather's regime is doing. They're not allowed to be a public speaking team, and they've taken the voice of the fans away, and everybody else is just falling into the way that they want them to think. And I'm glad you guys, and I'm thanking the two of you, for giving a real fan and giving these guys in the chat room and everybody a chance to voice their opinion, and it's really appreciated.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, but I mean, without you guys showing up every week and listening and calling in and contributing, then Eddie and I are just having a phone call. So it's you guys that, you know, that drive the show, and we love, you know, we just love having it. I mean, it's like we throw this big Ranger party, for better or worse, every week for you guys, you know, Tuesdays and sometimes Wednesdays and sometimes Fridays and Saturdays and Mondays. But, you know, without you guys showing up, it's just me and Eddie having a phone call. So, you know, believe me, the thanks go to you guys, not to us.
And you know what it is? I just want to get back to the, you know, I've contacted Steve Zippe at least 7 times, 8 times, and he writes these little 3-word answers. I'll have to check my sched. It's like they have no, and I understand a little bit that they're old school. They were here first. They paid their dues. They went to college. They went to learn how to write. They did internships, and we just appeared out of nowhere. But I put my time in as a Ranger fan. Everybody in here has given up. I mean, I don't know. We've been late to weddings. We haven't gone to weddings. We haven't to watch a Ranger game. I remember on Mother's Day in 1979, the Rangers playing the Montreal Canadiens. I snuck into the bar, all right? So what was I, 65? I was 14 years old. I snuck into the bar to watch the game on Mother's Day at the Moose Lodge. Like, I remember this. We have paid our dues, ladies and gentlemen, and just because you can write very well and you can do that doesn't mean that you don't have an opinion or you can't get a scoop. I mean, how did they get scoops in the old days? People they knew inside the organization, people who worked outside the organization, by knowing people. These people are so sanitized and they're so old, they don't meet new people. They don't talk to new people. And they're upset. Their career and their livelihood is going down. And who are they getting beat by? Just the normal Ranger fans. I mean, you know, it's not a competition to me, but it seems like it's a competition to them. You know, and also you want to go to the Larry Brooks thing, and this is really what we started talking about. To me, Larry Brooks asked the right questions. The problem is it comes out of that ugly cretin mouth. He looks like a Brother Theodore or something out of the Flintstones, maybe like the Weirdlies or something. He's just a, I don't know, he looked like he crawled out from under a rock or
weirdly
something.
Gruesome.
Weirdly gruesome. I mean, yeah. I mean, and then, you know, he does, you know, he's definitely a Debbie Downer, even when things are going good. But it's just the arrogance of Tortorella saying, I'm done with you. I'm not taking questions. Again, I can't feel good for Larry Brooks. I don't like the guy. I don't like the way he approaches it. But he did ask questions that, let's face it, Ricky, me, Jim, Mandar, anybody on the in that comes on and speaks on this program would have asked, you know, about the
right.
Girardi incident and the whole thing.
Let me give you my take on Larry Brooks, and then you guys can agree or disagree. It doesn't matter. My take on Larry Brooks is this: he undoubtedly has a wild hair up his ass for Sather and Tortorella. I mean, that's obvious, and it goes back. You know, we all know the history. By the same token, he's the only one. He's really the only one, with the exception of Andrew Gross at times. But he's really the only one that'll give you a frank analysis of the team. You know, if and yes, he's a downer, but he's not afraid to say when they flat out stink. You don't really you don't hear that from Zippe much, and of course, who owns Newsday, right?
Yeah,
it's all owned by the same conglomerate. So, but you know, I'm no big Larry Brooks fan or apologist, but at least, when you read Larry Brooks, it doesn't feel like it's been, sanitized and edited by those two fat twins in Good Morning Vietnam. You know, you remember those guys?
Right. Yeah, those guys. Yeah. No, I just think when Weirdly Adams asked the questions, he's got an agenda. He I think he has an agenda against torts that's so blatant. But he asked the right questions. He's a hard guy. Anything the guy says, it's hard to take to anything he says because you just, what the hell is wrong with this guy? Is he able to leave the house other than these games? I mean, and are you challenging me? I mean, what is that nonsense? He's just egging Tortorella on at that point, you know. No, I'm not challenging you. It's surreal. This is just all going on while the Rangers are stinking to join up. I mean, it's chaos. It's a lot of chaos, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you've said it once, you've said it 100 times. No other team in sports is run like this.
I mean,
you know, you got the one of the main beat writers of the team antagonizing the coach, and the coach is trying to bully the reporter, and it's like the Yankees, it's like the Bronx Zoo without the championships. I mean, that's what it's like.
I feel like, I'm sure the guys and the gals out there, I said gals, what am I, 70? But, you know, the guys and the gals out there, you know when you had that one dysfunctional relationship that, you know, like back in the day or, you know, in your case, maybe it was an ex-wife, Jimmy, but you were in a dysfunctional situation and you just couldn't let go. And this is how I feel with the Rangers now. They got me twisted and turned, and I don't know what's going on anymore, and I can't get away.
You can't break up with them no matter what you do.
I can't.
It's a crazy situation. All right, so Ricky cleared up the Coda League thing for at least from our end of it, and just to give you guys the latest. So we'll see what happens. Look, you know, if he gets traded, does that mean we're right? Well, you know, it just means that we're on to something. But you know what? And even DB Maven said this. You think about it, right? You guys that are on the internet all day long, and I know most of you are, and you guys read all the websites and you read all the message boards, and a lot of you Twitter and a lot of you are on Facebook. So you know that there are 100 places to find internet, to find hockey rumors or sports rumors of any kind, and you know 99% of them are bull. And you'll never hear a beat writer mention that. But we had that Coda League story last week that Ricky told us about, and 3 of the beat writers for the Rangers went chasing the story. What does that tell you, right? If you see, you know, you see all these tweets from guys like Shrekland and there's a couple other ones out there, and you see stories on the internet. This one's going to be traded. I got a source here that says this one's going to be traded for this one, and this guy's on a trading block. And the beat writers don't touch it. They don't even mention it. They don't want to speculate. As far as they're concerned, it's just garbage. But for some reason, this Coda League story, they were all over it. All of a sudden, last week, something Blue Shirt Banner had to say, they all wanted to get to the real story. And I still don't think they have the real story, because they're all saying that the Rangers denied the autograph signings after March 1st, and DB Maven disproved that by showing everybody a website that proves that they do autograph signings after March 1st. What the hell else are the Rangers going to be doing? The way they're playing right now, they ain't going to have much else to do after March 1st.
Yeah, you're right. And I think a lot of that, I just want to say why I think on some certain level, they know that they respect this show in some kind of wacky way, because we've had a couple beat writers on. Andrew Gross has been terrific. He's been fun. He's been great. He's a Ranger fan. He's a gentleman. He's a nice guy. Rick Carpinello, the same thing. Everybody, you know, Carp is, you know, he's been great to this show from the get-go. These guys are, for some reason, and I think, you know, these guys must talk. You know, I was on that show, and you know, it was a good show, and they're informed. We've had, you know, Russ Cohen and Adam Ray. These guys have written books, and they'll say the first guy, the show is great. The callers, the people who hosted, the various hosts, with me, Mandar, Jim, Joe Fortunato, Paulie D, all informed guys. You know, we know our Ranger puck. I mean, there's sometimes I get names wrong, but and I think when they saw that poster, because we, you know, I don't want to speak for BlueShirtBanner.com. You know, I am a part of it, but I'm not a vital part of it. But I want to say that when they saw that come out from you guys, I think they, you know, it got their attention. We're finally, we're not talking about, I don't want to get too long-winded on this, but we're not talking about Ryan Getzlaff going to San Jose, like, or not, you know, like Eklund would say, or some wacky trade. We're talking about the Rangers in the middle of the season, and it's in their territory, and I think they got irked about it and kind of were hoping that the Rangers would deny it. Who knows if they even asked the Rangers? I know Andrew Gross would do it, but I don't know. Zippe's never given us the courtesy of ever answering an email with more than "I'll check my sked" to me. So, and I saw the email he wrote back to Ricky. It was it wasn't cordial. It was like a 13-year-old type to it, all the U's and the whole bit. So anyway, go ahead, Jim.
No, you said it very well. All I can say, you know, we'll wrap up that part of the conversation by, you know, like you guys are saying, some of you had said in the chat room, where there's this much smoke, there's fire. Why else would they chase down this story unless there was a story there? Because they dispute everything else, but all of a sudden, you know, decided to chase down something that we had mentioned. So anyway, let's move on. Let's take another phone call. We got James on the line. James, good evening. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. How are you, buddy?
I'm fine, guys. How's it going, both of you?
Hey, James.
Doing
how
well.
Are you?
Okay.
Doing
okay.
Well.
I just got in and I heard part of that, and I did see the clip where with Torts and what's his name?
Brooks, Larry Brooks.
Yeah, Larry Brooks. Yeah, I caught that. But I don't know if you guys touched on anything about the Rangers and their lack once again of stepping in after with the fight with Carcillo and Gabrick. I don't know if you guys got into that at all or not.
Yes.
Yeah.
At the very top of the show.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
And
last week, I mean, I really thought these guys were starting to come together and good things were going to happen. And then that happens just a couple of days later. And it just riled me up so much. I couldn't believe that no one came in to step in to do anything.
Well, oh, yeah. Well, vent. What went through your mind at that point?
As being a collector like you are, Mal, you know, we see these older games, and we know years ago these guys would never happen. And the crazy thing is, just a couple nights ago, I put on a game from 1985, from March 24th of 85. Nicky Fittiu hits Mike Bossy, clean check. I mean, rubs him out into the half board there. Bang, Bossy goes down. And who comes in? Deneen comes in, goes after Nicky. Now, you're talking Nicky. It ain't just any guy or whatever. He went after him. And same game, Grant Ledyard hit, I think it was Kerr. And Diddick jumps in. So, and the one thing I remember then, Espo was the color man at that time. And he says the Islanders will not and do not let their players get hit. And when you look at it back then, and you look at what the Rangers are now, you know, and those guys, I mean, they won cups together and stuff like that. And they at that point they had, you know, it was still a couple of years removed, I guess, from winning. And they still, you know, were sticking up for each other. They're not going to let a Bossy get hit or anything. And we let our guy get hit. We let our guy get pummeled by a lowlife like Carcillo. I don't care who would have got a third man in. I don't care if it was a 5-game suspension. I wanted to see somebody, anybody, jump right in there and rip Carcillo's head off.
Of course. I mean, to us, it just seems like human nature, James. I mean, you know, we all played sports. I'm sure we were all in a situation, you know, we were kids or even, you know, as we got older. You play it on a team, you see one of your teammates getting the bad end of the business, you jump in for him. That's what being a teammate is all about.
Exactly. I mean, there were years, okay, when I had cousins in Brooklyn, okay, they live next door to me. They move out to Jersey. We go hang out in Jersey. There's the other guys that come around. They challenge us to a game of football, whatever. And that's the way, you know what I mean? And we got all our friends from Brooklyn, all the kids from Jersey and stuff. They were all their friends. We all got into this massive fight. We got into massive fights in softball, hockey, every kids down the block. We each have our own teams. And we'd all end up, of course, sticking up for each other. We're all friends. Those guys are friends. Those other guys are friends. And these, you know what I mean, and these players who, I mean, they're supposed to mesh as like a family, you know. And when you see something like that happen, I mean, then you see Girardi standing there. I mean, do anything. I mean, don't just stand there and look at it. I mean, do something. Jump, just hold the guy up. Okay, get third man in. Fine, get him the hell off of Gavrik. He's the only guy to score for us. And, I mean, yeah, it hasn't been lately, but he's our bread and butter right now. I mean, he's the only guy we have that's going to put the puck in the net. And you're letting him get hit like that. I mean, I was standing up yelling like a lunatic. I mean, I was that pissed off seeing that, just like you guys probably were.
Well, James, I was at the Ranger viewing party.
That's
with
right,
300
yeah.
Ranger, and I was standing next to Nick Fetile.
Oh,
and Fetile just shook his head. And I asked him, but, you know, he really didn't have anything to say. You know, I just think these guys, the way the game is played today, they just don't understand. They can't comprehend. And like you said, it's supposed to be a family.
Yeah, I mean, these guys have dinners together. They do everything together. I mean, all right, I mean, get suspended. Be fine. Let the coach find you. Let the league find you. Who gives a damn what anybody does? You got to jump in there, and you got to do something. You cannot let that happen. Because if I'm Gavrik, I mean, I'm feeling to myself, I'd be like, I can't believe that none of these teammates come to help me out. I mean, this guy's not a fighter, and he still stood up for himself. But, I mean, are these guys afraid of what disciplinary Colin Campbell's going to do? I mean, are they afraid? What the hell are they afraid of? I mean, I don't understand it.
And you know what else? You know, we've all been, you know, again, getting back to, you know, we played sports, whatever, you play in the street. You know, we've all been in situations where you play in a game and maybe you get hit from behind, or you get what you perceive to be maybe a cheap shot, or you just don't like it, and your emotion gets the best of you, and maybe you throw a punch, or you let your emotion take over, and you do something that maybe, I mean, that didn't even happen to the Rangers, where somebody, you know, just flew off the handle. Oh, you know, my emotions got the worst of me. You know, I couldn't control myself. That
exactly.
didn't even happen. They all just stood there.
Stood
I mean, that's
there.
What I mean when I say they're just soulless right now, and I just don't get it.
Yeah, and I don't understand. Like I said the week before, I really, really believe deep down. I was like, you know what? These guys were fighting the last few games in a row, if you guys both remember that. And we're like, wow. I'm like, these guys are actually starting to, you know, have enough. I think they've had enough of it. And then to see that happen, and then now we go back to the let's not score a goal anymore, it turned right back into that same thing. I mean, it came full circle from those two games, those two shutouts before the 14-goal outburst, came right back to the same exact thing. And I just don't understand how these guys know. I mean, okay, they beat up on more of a bottom feeder team. I understand that. But, I mean, you got to show some damn, you got to show something. I mean, you got to wear, that jersey proudly, man. I mean, no matter what team you play for, especially a Ranger jersey, you know the fans, how passionate we are. You got to do something. You just can't stand there. And it, like I said, to me, it's just, you know, there's not even any words. I mean, that's how angry I was. I mean, just like everybody. And you say Nicky's there shaking his head. He probably wanted to jump through the damn screen. You know?
During the Avery fight, I was watching Nicky. I didn't even watch the fight. And he was watching the fight with not his hands clenched, but like he was mentally thinking about what he would do in the fight. Like, you know, I can't explain it. But it was like he was in the fight mentally. Like he was out there. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, these guys are so far removed from the game. I don't know if, you know, for me, as a Ranger fan, it was embarrassing.
Yes, that's a good word, is embarrassing. I felt embarrassed to wear my Ranger shirt or my Ranger hat. I just felt like what, you know, I mean, these guys should be the ones feeling embarrassed. They're the ones out there on the ice. And there's people paying money to see them or traveling. That was in Philly, wasn't it? And they're traveling to Philly to go see a game. They buy the tickets. They spend money on hotels, whatever the case may be. They're going out there to see these guys, and you want to see these guys play a good game, and you know, or at least you want to see these guys stick together. And when you don't have that or you don't see that, I don't understand how a Tortorella team could be like that, because you know how the passion he has and how angry he gets. I don't know how this is like, you know, how this happens at all. You know, it's just, it keeps running through my mind, and I'm like, there's no explanation for it. There's nothing. I just don't get it at all.
I don't get it.
Is it funny? None of us do.
Nobody gets it.
You've got a locker room full of, you know, you got 20 some odd guys in a locker room, and every night you know, these guys go into battle together on the ice, and how do they sit there and look at each other knowing that they're not going to stand up for each other when they have to come together every night 82 times a year? I mean, what? How do they look each other in the eye?
Exactly. You know, like I say, it's supposed to be a family. I mean, you're in a dressing room. These guys shower together. I mean, it's like a family. And if you're not going to stick up for your brother, I mean, these guys got to think of themselves as brothers, man. And every brother sticks together.
And,
the ones that I know, you got to stand up.
And you know, you guys have been in battle. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Eddie. It's okay.
I was just going to say, you know, when we played sports, and again, I don't want to make this all about us because it's really, you know, about perfect, but when we played sports, we even stuck up for people we didn't like if they were on our own team. Even if the guy was a schmuck and I saw some guy taking advantage of a guy, I stood up for him.
Right.
There was a certain guy, I remember this, I was playing ball hockey, which is Paulie D's favorite subject, what happened was the guy on my team got tripped in front of the net, and he fell down, and he was hurt. And this guy was a hot dog on my team. He had the whole hockey hair. He was a real pretty boy, and everybody on the rink hated him. Most of our team hated him, but we loved him because he scored a lot of goals. Well, he goes down. He's hurt. And for some reason, some guy was playing the game with work boots, decides to stomp on the back of his head.
Oh.
I see this happen. I lose it. I didn't think about anything. I just got involved. And I got my ass handed to me, guys. When it was all over, I had no jersey. My T-shirt, all I had was the collar left. I mean, I got my – but that's what it's about. And I just don't understand. Is it the new kind of kids today? Like Dan Girardi, he's only 25, 24, whatever he is. Is it this age of where they don't keep score in soccer games, and then that meanness is not there? I mean, is that it? I don't know what it is.
Or is it does he think that the coach is going to get on his ass or fine him, or does he think he's going to get in some kind of trouble, I mean, by doing something? I mean, he was standing right there, Girardi. And I like Girardi. I think he's a decent defenseman for his age. I mean, I think he's coming along pretty well, but – I mean, you got to do something. You're standing right there. And I don't care if I had to lead somebody off the bench. I'd jump off the bench if I had to do something like that. I mean, I see my best guy, especially my best guy, any player I would do that for. But my bread and butter, my goal scorer, the guy who, without him, we wouldn't even be near a playoff spot right now without Gabrick. I mean, he's the guy, and you're going to let that happen to him. Imagine what they would let happen to other guys, you know? So that's pretty crappy in my book.
Eddie, I don't think it has to do with the upbringing and the not keeping score, because it's just human nature to want to protect one of your own. I mean, maybe this team just doesn't give a crap about each other.
Yeah, that's the thing. I got a story like Ed had. I mean, we're playing softball. We're on the league and everything. I was playing first base. Pop-up comes up to me. I go, you know, I step in a little bit. I go to catch, and this is I catch it. I hear a bat, and it's rolling near my feet. So I thought the guy ran up the line with it, you know, and just dropped it there. And I went to go pick it up to hand it to him. And my cousins in right field behind me yelling, saying, he threw it at you. I picked it up, and I flung it right at his head. The other guy jumped on me, you know, and everybody came running in, you know. It's like it didn't hit me. It was just near me. And just from that, I got pissed off because, you know, this guy's throwing an aluminum bat at me.
Well, I have no idea.
I didn't do nothing to this guy. He just threw it. And, of course, my cousin tells me my cousin's going to protect me right away. And he came right in. Then I had the other friends and cousins on the team. Before you know it, we were all – I mean, I think we have this on video somewhere. I think one of the girls that we knew in the neighborhood took it. But it was a mob scene. It really was. Everybody's picking up bats and killing each other. And we stuck together. This is what, like Ed was saying, you know, like out in the streets – we would just do it, you know, we're just out there having fun. We're not making no money at it and stuff, right? And we're protecting each other. And these guys who were supposed to be doing the same thing just, like I say, don't give a crap. Whereas other NHL teams, I don't see anybody stand around when their goalie gets bumped or another guy gets hit, anything like that. I've been watching some games out west. Anything happens, somebody comes to a rescue, man. I mean, there's nothing like the way this Ranger team is. It's horrible.
Don't you think that somebody, like guys in the locker room, there's got to be a certain fat guy, listen, what was Dan thinking about?
Yeah.
He's got to come in. There's got to be a certain guy, and I bet you Avery's one of them, that's saying, that was, you know, I can't even say the words, but expletives, like, that was blank and retarded.
Yeah.
It really was.
So I knew you guys must have touched on it before I got home, but I had a vent. It was good for me because
We're here for you.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, all of us, we're big fans and stuff, and we still root for these guys no matter what they do, no matter how much they wrong us, and we feel they wrong us, how they don't play the way they're supposed to play or do what they're supposed to do. And it's like all we hope is for them to get guys that want to play for each other and stick together and go out there and play the best they can. You don't win a cup, you don't win a cup, but you want to go down fighting. You don't want to go down, you know, looking at everybody kicking the crap out of you.
Like a bunch of schmoes out there. Yeah. We really do. We don't look. I mean, just Ranger fans would embrace a team with heart, win or lose.
Exactly.
With heart. Win or lose. They're a bunch of schmoes. We embarrassed anyway. So that's it.
Yeah. Okay. We're back.
James, we're
going to
take some more phone calls.
All right, James.
James, give us a call next week when we have Emil on, all right?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. You have a good one.
Good night. You too. That was James. Gotta love James. Never at a loss for words. Would you believe we have five calls on the switchboard? Now, granted, one of them is Mandar, one of them is my brother. They're both listening into the show over the phone, and one of them is Ricky, who I put back on hold. But we have let's bring in. I believe this is. Nick, are you there?
Hello?
Nick, how are you? This
hey
is Nick
guys,
from Blue Shirt
on?
Banner, also known as the NYR blogger. Good evening.
Hey, Nick.
How are you? What's going on, guys?
Welcome to the show. Now, have you heard the whole show?
I've heard most of it. I just heard the last caller. He was pretty good.
James is always great. So what's your take on the whole situation? Mostly we've been talking about Gabrick and the Carcillo fight. What's your give us your take?
Well, I was wondering why after the game, Henrik Lundqvist was the one to say Carcillo has to watch out next time. No one else came up and said that he has to watch out next time. Henrik Lundqvist was the first one to say it. And that's like he's the goalie. He's not even the one that's going to do it. I think why is he realizing that and no one else? And Girardi should have came out, you know?
That's a good point. I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah. Why is Lundqvist the one?
Yeah. Lundqvist is the guy saying, you know, he's the guy who's saying you better watch out. The goalie. How come there isn't? I mean, that speaks a lot. And I'll tell you, Henrik, you see him. He hates to lose, and he cares about this team so much. And to see him get run. And DeGoon brought this up yesterday. This didn't happen under Rennie. And I don't know why. I know he said that Colton Orr, but Colton Orr was only playing 4 minutes a game last year. I mean, and that could be a reason. But you would think that Tortorella, because he's such a fiery guy and a guy who's very passionate, that it would spill over to the team and they would have a bunch of hotheads out there who would want to play his style. I think they would be more trouble for not responding to a situation that than actually being reprimanded for not standing up for Gabrick. I mean, I should have... Go ahead.
Well, that's exactly it. Tortorella has this tough, rough and tough attitude, but his team can't live up to it. His team's not like that. They're too soft on defense. Like you said, Lundqvist is always getting run. They don't clear the crease. It's ridiculous. They're totally not tough like Tortorella makes them appear to be.
Yeah, and then the defenseman, every aggressive part, other than Michael Delzato, who I like. I think he'll throw the occasional check, but every part of the aggressiveness part of defense, they don't do well. They don't challenge the puck carrier coming into the zone. They don't hit, obviously. They don't clear the crease, like you said. Still. I guess it comes down to Henrik Lundqvist, the reason there aren't more goals scored. Because there's a lot of quality shots they give up. They give up a lot. I mean, you watch other games, you don't see goalies face these kind of shots that he faces.
Exactly. He's been great. But Lundqvist has definitely been one of the best leaders on this team this season because after the Islander lost, well, it was 2-1, him and Sean Avery were the ones that stood up and talk to the team and calm them down and everything. It wasn't Drury and Prosper and Callahan. It was Avery and Lundqvist. So that speaks a lot.
Well, I mean, you know, it's got to be just tremendous pressure on Lundqvist because he's got to know if I give up more than one goal, we can't win. We can't win right now. You know, save for the occasional 8-2, you know, game against Tampa Bay or that 7-4 win over Columbus, they give up more than one goal, and he knows they're not going to win.
Yeah, and it's been like that for years, too. That's not only this year. That was last year. That was the year before. The team always has had problems scoring goals. It's not a new problem.
They had this problem 10 years ago,
right,
long before Lundqvist came along.
Yep. And really,
so,
I think now, go ahead.
I was going to say, is there any remedy? I mean, you know, we've talked about this, you know. I mean, the Pittsburgh game, I didn't see the game, but I assume the Rangers, I saw the first period. I thought the Rangers didn't come out very well. And it's funny, the guy, Chris Connor, who scored both those goals, he got sent down today. If somebody gets two goals in a Ranger game, he'd be promoted to the first line. Pittsburgh's so good, you get two goals, you go to the minus. You're down in Wilkes-Barre. You know what I'm saying? The guy got two goals, he got sent down the next day. So how was your
trip to New York, Chris? Oh, it was great. I beat the Rangers.
Yeah. You know, I scored more goals than they score in three games.
I beat the Rangers.
You know,
I got a hooker. No, it was great. It's a great trip to New York. I love it.
Listen, there's no more hookers in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Bloomberg and then Giuliani, they cleaned all that up. But anyway, we digress. I don't know. Nick, do you see this team turning it around? Do you think it's just going to be up and down the whole way through?
It's going to be up and down, but I actually have an article going up tomorrow on the banter. It's personnel problems now. I mean, everyone complains about the coach, and sure, he's made mistakes this season, but it's a lot of the players. Like you said, Higgins just can't score. You know, players are underachieving. Like Jim said, no one's overachieving. There's only about two or three players living up to their expectations. And at some point, when do they realize we need to rebuild, we need to clean house, start bringing in the youth and go that way instead of blowing up the team every summer, bringing in these people, and then we still have the same problems every season?
Yeah, I just don't think the Rangers use their minor league system the right way. When teams are going bad and even with the injury, although we haven't had a really bad injury situation, the Rangers have not lost a tremendous amount of man games so far this season. But even with Pittsburgh, they lose a guy, they bring a guy up, they bring whether it's a Luca Caputi or it's a Chris Connors, the guy plays a couple games. Why aren't the Rangers bringing up these guys? And listen, I know everybody's on the Voros train right now. I don't like the guy. How about Voros sits or get sent down for three games, and we see what Dane Byers can do. We can see what Dale Weish does. We can see what some of these guys, they might ignite a spark. Obviously, what they have now, personnel-wise, is not working. Instead of flipping the lines and juggling the lines is your coach's credo every night, which to me is stupid. That doesn't mean you're coaching. Every line combination must have been done by now. How about bring up some of these guys and throw them in the forward positions? I'm not talking so much the defense. The problem is scoring and the grit, the north-south hockey we've been talking about. And these guys can provide it. And I don't understand why we're not using our minor league, the Wolfpack, the way every other team operates. The only thing we do is switch goalies every day. That's all we do. I mean, this is like... Is this like a fantasy league where you have to pay for transactions so we don't make any? I mean, I don't understand. You know, you got to throw $5 in the kitty every time you bring up Dane Byers? I mean, seriously, I don't get it. I don't get it. That's the name of this program. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, that's our theme for tonight, without a doubt. You know, it's just, I agree with you. I think it's time to start thinking about at least, even if it's just on a small scale, start thinking about 2011. Look at what you have. You know, Dane Byers, I don't think these guys are the end all, you know, the be all end all, the answer to all our problems, but at least give them a look, see what you got, at least know how you're going to move forward, right? I mean, you know, I don't think anybody's got any delusions that this team's going anywhere. So why not give these guys a shot and see what they can do, and at least you know what you got for next year, you know? Because there's not going to be a turnaround. I'm done asking the question, is this a temporary thing, or is it fleeting, or is it a turnaround? I'm done asking that question. There's not going to be a turnaround. You might get another three or four game. You might get a couple of more three or four game stretches where they play good hockey, but you're going to get just as many, just like the other night against Philly. This is it. These are your 2009, 2010 New York Rangers. This is it. So it's time to start thinking about the future, you know, at least for next year. We know the future a couple of years away. Like, you know, I told Jess Rubenstein last night on Facebook. He put up a thing about it was something about Stepan, and I said I just wish the future would hurry up and get here before it gets traded.
Oh, gee. If that was traded, that would be one of the one thing I'm going to say there hasn't done is trade away youth like that yet. And if he goes and does that, then I think it's time to go for him.
Now, let me ask you about this. Now, it's been thrown around, and please, all reporters out there for your respective newspapers, do not quote me on this. I'm not saying this is a rumor or a trade, but this has been going around.
Let me get my pen and pencil. Hold on. My pen and paper. Hold on.
What do you guys, and we talked about this on the Paulie D program, a program on Monday nights that usually airs 8:30 to 9:30. Catch that program. It's very, very good. I love Paulie D. We talked about it last night as I plug his program there. What about the Ilya Kovalchuk or Kovalchuk? Now, we know he's going to be a free agent. It looks like everything has fallen apart over there as far as his Atlanta, the negotiations. Early on, they said, we have him locked up. He's committed to the franchise. And as the season's gone on, and we know that they have woeful attendance there, and you know this guy wants to play on the big stage. Do you guys... I pose this to the chat room and to Nick and Jim. Do you think there is a chance that the Rangers may get him as a rental and then with the hopes of keeping him around? Now, a lot of things, of course, have to happen, you know, like millions of dollars will have to be eaten somewhere. But do you think that is in the future, or do you think that's one of those wacky, wild internet rumors that Steve Zippe is afraid of? So what do you guys think?
Go ahead, Nick.
Well, with Kovalchuk, it's more about who would we have to give up, because really, are they willing to take a Redden or a Roosevelt or even a Drury? Because the only trading assets we have, are players like Dubinsky, Callahan, and Stahl, and Delgado, and like Jim said, the prospects, we don't want them trading them. So it would really be, who would we trade for him?
And you can't trade Drury. He's got a no move, and he ain't going to Atlanta.
Well, okay. Now, how about this? Say if they're going to probably want. They don't have a lot of money. They're going to be looking for prospects and youth. If Brandon Dubinsky, now say they can they bury. I mean, I wish Joe Fortunato was around. Can they bury one of these guys in the minors and not take the cap hit, or are they on the hook forever and ever? I mean,
They could send one of them down. Yeah.
Right.
I think they're going to buy out Roosevelt in July. I think that's what they're going to do. And I don't think Redden's going anywhere unless they are willing to make a deal that includes some young players. And by young players, I mean, I'm talking about a Dubinsky and maybe one of the top prospects. That's the only way I can see them getting rid of Redden. That's the only way I think anybody would take him. I think they're going to buy Roosevelt out in July. I think that's what will happen.
Can I write that down? I'll report it on Ranger Crisis.
You can write that down and send it right over to Newsday. Hey, Nick, we're going to take some other calls. I appreciate you calling
Thanks
in.
Thanks, Nick, for calling.
Make sure you read Nick's story tomorrow on Blue Shirt Banner. He is one of our main co-writers, him and Joe Fortunato, as always. All right, Nick, good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate
it. Take care, Nick.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right, now we have 20 minutes left to go. If you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. Before I bring in the madcap crew for the end of the show. So if you guys want to get on, now is the time. And Paulie D, I'll be with you in a second. I appreciate you holding. Let's before we get to the end of the show, why don't we run down one more time what's coming up in the days ahead? Tomorrow night, 5:30, Blue Shirt Banner Radio, Ranger Rally, Monkey Rendezvous, whatever you want to call it. Eddie and Mandar will be on the air for an hour and a half, taking you up to the Rangers game with the Hurricanes. Saturday afternoon at 6:00 Eastern Time, we will be on the air with another pregame show, and I will be live in the parking lot of the Jobbing.com Arena for the big game between the Rangers and the Phoenix Coyotes, the red-hot Phoenix Coyotes, playing well as the Rangers come out another West Coast swing. Then Tuesday night, February 2nd, 8:00, the one, the only, Emil the Cat Francis will join us once again. And then Sunday, why don't you describe that Sunday thing again, because I've forgotten.
Sunday the 31st.
Particular.
So it's at the 31st. I will be in Center Reach, Long Island at the VFW Hall with a tin can begging. No, I will be doing a hockey card show there. I'll be one of the booths there. I'll be selling only Ranger merchandise, only Ranger cards, Michael Delzato rookies. I'll hook you up with a great price, stuff way below book value. Say hello to me, whatever. And it's going to be a fun time. I just want to get out and talk hockey with people, and we could talk about the show. And I'm out there actually going to be promoting the show and trying to get more people to listen. And we got such a great – I mean, the numbers for this show are astronomical. And we do no publicity whatsoever and no PR work. And it's just
We were edging out Jay Leno in the 10 to 11 hour up until they moved him back to the
– I think so.
Poor Conan O'Brien had to lose his job so they could move Jay Leno back to 11:30 because we were killing him in the ratings.
I know. It's unbelievable.
I'll be there
from 9 to 4, Center Reach VFW Hall, Sunday the 31st.
And will you sign copies of 100 Ranger Greats?
Yes, I will sign. It's in Center Reach. I see a Ranger dude, the Center Reach VFW. I'm sorry, can't be more of a classier joint, but then again, let's face it, it's the mouth. What do you want to meet me?
Hey, so VFW is a nice place to get cheap beer, that's for sure.
Yes. Okay, so.
All right, so there you have it. That's the lineup for the next week. A busy
bring
week
them in.
For
let
two
the
guys
pigeons
that
loose.
Paid for this. Cry Havoc. And let's slip the dogs of war. So here we go. All right, hold on. Ranger, is he being serious? The VFW in Center Reach, Long Island. 9 to 4 on Sunday. Mouth signing autographs, discounts on hockey cards, VFW, Center Reach, Long Island. That's the last time we're telling you.
And I'll be –
all right.
I'm also with Blue Shirt Banner Radio Snuggies. No, I'm only kidding. I'm not kidding. That'll be good, though.
Not a bad idea.
All right, go ahead. Bring him in.
We want to release the hounds? All right, from top to bottom, here he is, Mandar. Good evening, Mandar.
Well, I'm glad I'm on top. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello, that's Mandar. The loudest man on the October radio.
Show starts.
I'll take it off of 11.
Thank you. And we'll bring back in Ricky. Ricky, how are you?
How are you guys?
All right. And the one, the only, our good friend, Mr. Paulie D. Paulie, good evening.
Gentlemen, what's going on?
How dare you call us that?
I use the term very loosely.
Very loosely. Very loosely. I dated her in high school. Hold on, one more here. Let's bring in the one, the only, the voice of reason. Hailing from parts unknown, D.B. Maven. Good evening, D.B. How are you?
Good evening, guys.
Paulie, D.B., Mandar, what's going on? Give us a rant here.
You want me to go first?
I think we're all going to talk at once.
Actually, let's let Mandar go first. Mandar, go ahead.
I've said it a few times in the chat room. The thing is, that it's not one player is going to change this team. It's a mindset that they have now. And finally, you know, people were thinking at first it was all Girardi's fault, and then, well, maybe he wasn't thinking straight. No, it's a hockey player. You have an instinct. Something happens, teammate, you go in. 100% blame on Girardi. I would say that Mr. Accountability is Everything has no clue on what accountability really means. And this team, I always believe a team takes on the personality of its coach. And we've seen that in the past. When a coach admits he doesn't know, look what the team does. The team has no clue because he has no answers. He said it, he admits it, and the team plays like it. That's what you see the product on the ice every single game. You see a team that doesn't know what to do because the coach doesn't have the answer.
All right, Paulie, let me direct this question at you and then DB. Because Paulie, I know we give you a lot of crap, but I do value your opinion. Why does this team have such an unwillingness to go to war with each other, to battle for each other, to stand up for each other? What is it about
boy,
this? What
I,
is
boy? Do I wish I had the answer for that, Jim? I tell you what. I mean, I think we all, and you really hit the nail on the head the whole show. You know, it's actually sickening. And the funny thing is, you know, Ranger fans are so passionate, and so many people, you know, you look on Facebook and everything, and Jen and all, and even the ladies, they're so sick and tired of the Rangers breaking our heart year after year, either in so many ways, but to see the display, and Mandar, I love you, bro. You're a great guy. But the bottom line is this. Girardi, and I'm going to keep it clean, is a wuss. You do not allow that to happen, regardless whether it's in your blood or you're worried
oh,
about
it. I agree with you totally, by the way. I don't mean to interrupt,
okay.
But I agree with you totally.
I can tell you from years of being around the game of hockey, tenacity is not something that you should or have to teach a hockey player. It's not a teachable thing. It's something whether you have it or you don't. And this is a lot more beyond tenacity. This is a matter of, you know, a lot, like we said, I mean, it's judgment. It's, you know, forget the rules, forget about the penalty, forget about third man in. Your bread and butter is getting his face kicked in by a bruiser. It's not like Gavrik was fighting Richards or Briere. Then you would say, you know what, let them handle it themselves. In this case, you know, the whole team needs to jump on Carcillo. But, you know, in the game of hockey, you don't teach tenacity. Either you have it or you don't. There are some guys that are much more lenient, like Mark Stahl and players like that, that just don't have that mean thing. You don't teach it, but I think you have to enforce the idea that together we have to do this as a team. And the bottom line is you have to really wonder how close this team is as individuals. Bottom line is, we're not hockey players. We might be hockey fans, but I've said this before. Jim, if we were standing together and somebody bumped into you and was arrogant about it, I'd punch him in the face. I'd address him. I'd say, you got a problem? You know, something like that. Here they are, hockey players. You see somebody getting beat up, your instinct should bring you there because you care about that person.
Right. Well, that's what I said before. How does your human nature not kick in to want to stand up for one of your brothers? I mean, you're supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be a brotherhood. It's the very essence of the word team, for God's sakes.
And it shows
I want to jump in here.
I'm sorry.
It's DB Maven, I want to jump in here. I find it somewhat amusing that everybody has focused their, let's call it ire, on Dan Girardi. Because
I haven't picked on Girardi. I think it was the whole team.
I'll take you out of the equation, Jim. I take it back from you. Most people are focusing on Dan Girardi. And why didn't Girardi, and Girardi's this, and Girardi's that, and he's a that, and he's a wuss, and other inexplicable things that you can't say on normal radio, but you can call him a pussy on the internet radio, okay? So what people don't realize, if they really watch the video and the replays that are on YouTube, is who's about two steps behind and to the left in the video, to his right in real life, Dan Girardi, Mark Stahl, okay? So Stahl gets a pass because he's only in the video for about 3 seconds. The whole bunch of them, okay, as far as I'm concerned, you're right. Somebody needed to immediately skate in there and jump on what was going on. Doesn't matter if you're trying to pull Carcillo off or you're trying to wail on him. It doesn't matter. This is symptomatic of the teams of Rangers that we saw through the 2000s, and they were basically very similar. They didn't have a lot of scoring necessarily, and they sure didn't have a lot of bite. And this team lacks bite.
This is the Sean Muckler area all over again.
That's exactly right. Well said.
Yeah, that is well said. We also brought John in. John, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Oh, he's using the Mandar phone.
I have you guys microphone so I can hear you better.
Oh, for those of you that don't know, John is also known as Avery God on Blue Shirt Banter, and he also happens to be my brother. And he will be in attendance with me at the Jobbing.com Arena for the Rangers and the Phoenix Coyotes on Saturday night when the Rangers at it with the team they are most likely to make a trade with at the trade deadline. All right. So, anyway.
Speechless.
I see that. It's not like this crowd. I have six people on the line. I can't get anything.
Sorry, I was on the phone with the New York Rangers organization, seeing if they were taking applications and resumes for backup goalies.
Yeah.
But they said they were going to stick with Chad Johnson until Saturday night, then they're going to call up Zappa again.
They'll probably keep Johnson up since they're going to be traveling out west. They'll probably just keep him up for the maybe they'll send him down again tomorrow night and bring him back on Friday, who knows, but I would assume he'll be with them for the trip since they're coming out west. I think they have the Coyotes on Saturday and then maybe the Rockies on Sunday or Monday. I don't remember off the top of my head. But anyway,
Jim,
Paulie, go ahead.
I wanted to ask a question. We touched before and I wanted to kind of get on this a little bit because I'm very curious to see how Ranger fans feel. So please, if you're in the chat room too, you know, we talked about this yesterday a little bit. I addressed this with Ricky and Mouth. You know, we talk about Kovalchuk being a free agent or by next year, and it looks like they're going to trade this guy. Now you have to say, this guy is a franchise player. If you can pick him up, you got to give up what. I mean, I got to be honest. I love Dubinsky and I love Callahan. I'd package them together to get a Kovalchuk. And the bottom line is this. Toughness we can bring, I believe, from downstairs. There's no doubt about it. We've talked about it. You got Weiss, you got Byers, you got some guys that can bring a little bit of that north-south in your face grit, and that's something the Rangers need to do, and every time they get shut out or they lack goals, It's because they do everything from the outside. They don't drive the middle. They scored 14 goals in two games, and I think 13 and a half of them were scored from a foot and a half out of the blue paint. But if you can bring in a Kovalchuk and maybe some team toughness, let's say a Dion Phaneuf or a Sheldon Saray, do you think those two components could change the whole outlook of this team right now?
Okay, can I go? Let me go first. Here's my issue with Kovalchuk. So if you're talking about trading away a Dubinsky and a Callahan and bringing in Kovalchuk, and then you're talking about re-signing him, then unless you make another move with Redden, Roosevelt, or even Drury, then you're talking about one, two, three, four, five, six guys, five or six guys. I'd have to write it down and look at it in front of me, but I'm thinking five or six guys making all the money on this payroll. And I just don't think the answer for the Rangers is one player, is another star player. I think this team is, you know, some teams say they're one player away. I think the Rangers are five or six because they just right now, me looking at this team, there just aren't enough guys on this team that want to go to war every night. And I don't think Kovalchuk solves that problem. That's just my take. Would I like to see him on Broadway? Well, sure, but not at the expense of, you know, the three or four players that I think they really need to do the things that the Rangers don't do. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. Makes total sense.
What do you guys think?
I agree.
You know, in obtaining those two players that I mentioned, you know, I mean, you have to, you know, with all. You would hope to obtain those players. We definitely would have to move some good, excellent players that we're all hyped up upon. You know, I would say, you know, you would try to get rid of a Redden, a Roosevelt, a Drury in there if you could. Well, you can't Drury unless he decides to waive his no trade clause. But, you know, I think we would have to try and push to move some of these players out, whether it be, like you said, dropping them one of them down to the minors next year or whatever the case may be. But I understand your point as far as cap goes. But, you know, let's make it a perfect world, and let's say we can, you know, move a couple of these players out of the program. What I'm looking for here is if we add, because I believe the toughest thing about this team is we've all talked about the team has no team toughness except for Voros and Avery, and that's it. And, you know, Voros is, you know, Voros. So we have Avery as the tough guy on our team, which he's, and Ricky made a great point, you know, he's not much more than a lightweight. He's a light middleweight, if anything. So if we gather some team toughness and we get some goal scoring, my question here is, do you think this changes the face of the team?
So no.
You answer
no.
Though.
No.
No. And, Paulie, if I could just say one thing, because I had a lot of time to think about this today after talking to you last night. We bring in Kovalchuk. We got Kovalchuk and Gabrick. We're not going to have Dubinsky or Callahan because they're definitely going to be part of it unless I think, you know, they're crazy and don't take both guys. Who in the world is going to throw them the puck? Who's going to play center? And we can't just say nobody because we're learning with Gabrick right now. We really, the guy needs a center to get him the puck. Second thing is, it's not going to address anything by having another guy who can put the puck in the net if we can't keep it out of our net because our defense is so bad, it's disgusting to watch.
DB, you were gonna say something before. What was your take on this?
I can basically just sit back here and agree with what you guys have said, that, and especially Ricky, that the key to this team, the change that this team most needs, in my opinion, right now is because you build teams from the goal out. So you build your goalie, and we've got that. And the next thing you start is on your blue line. And we've got some of the pieces. A bunch of us have been saying it now for a long time. The mean, nasty, bite defenseman is what we're missing. We do not have toughness at the blue line. We don't clear the crease. We don't protect Hank. There's just no toughness. And that's the thing that would change things more than anything. I would love to have Kovalchuk. Any team in the league would love to have him. The reality is he's looking for a mega payday. They're talking about the league max, which is $11.3 million. He's talking about a 10-year deal. The only way you're going to afford that, and it was in the chat room here before, the only way you're going to do that is over 15 years. Now, let's say you go ahead and you do that, then and somehow magically you free up the cap to make something like that happen. So over 15 years, it brings it down to $7.5 or $8 million. That's great, but now what happens with Gaborik? All right, he's no longer
DB, hang on 1 second. We're about 10 seconds. Before we go to the podcast, I just want to say goodnight, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow night at 5:30. Make sure you check out the podcast because I'm sure we'll be talking for at least a little while. Okay, we're off the air. So go ahead, DB. Sorry.
Yeah, my point is the guy that you brought in to be your number one is now not the number one. Okay? So now you have a potential of issues with Gaborik because now he's number two. And I don't think you need that. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Gaborik is just, okay with it, and he'll deal with it. And he's only got a, 4 or 5 year contract. But I can see issues happening there, and I really just don't think I don't think it'll work.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. Eddie, you've been remarkably silent through all of this.
He's eating a sandwich.
Oh, okay.
No,
actually, and I have we have somebody else.
I actually enjoy listening, and I pay attention, especially the videos where I say that Mark Stahl is getting a free pass on this when it actually was Michael Delzato in the video.
It
so I like
Delzato,
to hone on what
I did correct
say.
Myself.
I know. I'm only and, only Josh and Nikolaj. The sandwich remark cuts deep because I'm a man who's had a weight problem.
And I get a little choked up.
No, I'm kidding. everybody's hitting it all on. We're all echoing the same things here. I mean, it is. We all know we're on it. I mean, they need that team with the defenseman with bite, as they say. And this all comes down to another thing I've been addressing is why isn't there a seventh defenseman that's an older guy who may have that bite. Maybe not, that can mentor these guys and say, listen, the first time the goaltender got run this year, say, listen, we're not tolerating that, guys. I've been around this league. Word's going to get around, that we don't protect our guys. And now we're in game 50. We saw the ramifications of that. They took a guy, I'll say quickly, 25% of our scoring. A guy, a non-fighter, a Euro, face-shielding Euro, who is fragile. This isn't we're not talking about Gary Unger here. He's a groin tear, a tweak of anything, and he's gone, and they watched him get beat senseless by a goof, and nobody did anything. And if the retaliation didn't happen there, it should have happened the next shift, when Voros went after Briere, like I said it before, Jeff Carter, where we took advantage of their skill player as a message, but none of that was taken care of. And ultimately, it's the players that are responsible. I mean, the coach can tap a guy on his shoulder, but you have to have that feeling in your heart, and they had no heart that night. And I think that's what I think we're all most upset about.
I brought on another phone caller. I don't know who this is. 718-781, are you still there?
It's me. It's JB.
Oh, hey. JB, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Welcome to this podcast.
I was just listening, but someone just said before that they feel that Kovalchuk would put Gaborik on the back burner. I feel differently. I disagree with that.
All right, go ahead.
Why do you disagree?
No, I'm just saying because I feel that we don't have a setup guy. We need another setup guy. Like the Capitals, Pittsburgh, they have, the Capitals have Semin and Green.
Semin, they have Lidstrom, Nicholas Lidstrom.
We don't have that. We always have one top player. We always have one top player who disappears. There's no one to set them up. What are they going to do, the whole thing by themselves?
Right.
It's a good point.
You got to realize
we do need someone else. We don't need Sean Avery also to be an enforcer. His game, his stats went down dramatically this year because he's like the tough guy.
No, that's not why his stats went down. The stats went down because his coach don't know how to use them, and his coach can't
stand
them.
Well, that I agree with, but he shouldn't be an enforcer on the team.
Well, I just want to say, which one of you guys said that Kovalchuk would put Gavrik on the back burner?
It was me. It wasn't that he would be on the back burner. It was that he would be number two, not number one. We'll also recognize that Kovalchuk is not a setup guy, just like Gabrick's not a setup guy. They're both snipers, okay?
Right.
They're both scorers. So what you're looking for, and my point on bumping him, if you will, to number two, is kind of in a theoretical, philosophical sense, right? He's going from being the highest paid, if you will, with the longest contract, to no longer being the highest paid with the longest contract. You're talking that the cap hit for Kovalchuk is going to be something in the order of $4 to $5 million more than Gavrik. And there's an immediate psychological effect on a guy who's no longer the number one top guy. I'm not saying I guarantee it's going to be a problem. I said it could be a problem.
But what happens to snipers? If I could intervene, what happens to snipers when they get shut down? They turn up to setup guys, which just recently happened with Gavrik. He had 4 assists in a game. He became the setup guy. And if you had another top sniper, it would eventually they could flip flop it, either or. One scoring, the other one setting him up. And that's exactly what happened to Gavrik 2 games ago or 3 games ago. He had 4 assists in that game. He initially became a setup guy. And I just feel that if you have one goal scorer on the team, he's gonna eventually be invisible, which has just happened in the last 10 games. He scored one goal.
Besides that, they're able to focus on Gavrik and shut him down whenever they want. It's
right. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with you need more than one scorer. The problem that this team has had is that secondary scoring has not been anywhere near what anybody expected it to be. So, you know, we're all probably going to agree with you on that. And I I can't disagree with you, Jen. You bring up a good point, but the bottom line is you're not going to pay $11 million for a setup guy, just like you're not going to pay $7.5 million for a setup guy, unless you're paying Chris Drury. That's a different story.
You see, don't get me started on Drury, for God's sakes. I totally agree that, you know, you need more than one guy that, you know, that can do the scoring. I just think that the way this roster is currently constructed, you know, with all these bad salaries, I just think bringing in another salary is going to cost too much from a financial standpoint and from the standpoint of, you know, the other players that they need. You know, it'll prevent them from signing.
I think I'm going to go where you were going to say here. I'd rather see them sign 3 guys who could score 20 goals and put up 50 to 100 penalty minutes and get their nose dirty than one guy that could score 60 and the face of the team doesn't change. Because if you have Kovalchuk and Gavrik on the same line, it still doesn't address the fact that team toughness, what's it mean? It means that Carcillo is going to beat up Gavrik and Pronger's going to take off Kovalchuk's head? If you don't address the team toughness.
And you know something, though?
No. I think you guys misconstrued what I said, though. If you look at it, first of all, guys, there's a lot of dead weight. We got Kotalik, we got Leeson, we got Boros. There's a lot of dead weight. You got Higgins. Should I keep going? We got a lot of dead weight that we need to move out of the team.
True.
And bring up the guys like the Weiss and maybe a Byers. Maybe pick up a decent center along the way. And fill those holes. There's no doubt that we need to address team toughness on this. I think first and foremost we need to address team toughness, but I think we can do that starting back in the back line with a guy like Phaneuf or Sheldon Surrey. Guys can say what you want, but he'll knock your face in. Sheldon Surrey can drop the gloves, man. And
I would
he's
love
not afraid to stick Surrey up for his teammate.
He didn't walk on the team and be the toughest guy on the team.
Rick, those guys that you're talking about, the 20 goal scorers with 100 penalty minutes, those are the guys you win with in March and April and May. The Kovalchuks are, you know, he'd be a nice hood ornament, but you know, if nothing's in the trunk, then they ain't getting any further than the eighth seed and a first round bounce. You know, just like we've been the last couple of years.
I mentioned this last night. I would rather have the Rangers go out and sign Rafi Torres, a guy like Winchester out of off the Blues organization. Guys that are – Rafi Torres is going to put up 20 goals on the Rangers, and he's going to get 60 to 100 penalty minutes, and he's not going to get outworked every night. And the problem is that people come to New York to enjoy the city and not play hockey.
Right.
Well, you know, that's been a complaint of the coach from training camp. I'm still in his camp. He's a bully, and you know, some of his moves are head scratchers, but he's just got too many guys that aren't going to, you know, win the battles that he needs to win every night. This is just a very poorly constructed, put together mishmash, you know, of players.
Yeah, but maybe so, Jim, but think about it again. You do the same thing night after night after night, and you keep putting the same guys out night after night after night, and you expect a different result? No. I see, now that's where I blame the coach. Again, the coach makes it public. I don't know what's wrong with these guys. I don't know why they do this. The team follows that. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they're going because this coach has no clue.
Well, then looking at it from that perspective, then what do you do? Do you fire the coach again? Do you bring in another coach who's going to want 10 of his players? Do you tear down what you have again and start over? Do you let the current GM hire yet another coach? You know, I understand what you're saying. I'm not saying I disagree with you.
You got to go more than a 5-minute process to get your next coach. You know, I mean, you got to say, hey, you know, there's the next best name out there, and you throw him out there. That's what he did. That's what the genius did in the GMC. That's what he did.
But that's what I'm saying here.
Your coach has the tools, and he's not using the tools as they should be. You don't know if you're a finesse team. You don't get guys that go to the dirty areas of the ice. You know, we had a 7-game winning streak at the beginning of the year that kind of made us think of better days, and then we had a, you know, we've gone through a terrible stretch, which, you know, we're somewhere in between that. But they're a young team, and you start with three rookies on defense, and you're going to have these peaks and valleys. It's just what happens with a young team. But what I don't like is, we're not getting the rookie mistakes. You know what? I could take the rookie mistakes. I can't take the I don't know what to do mistakes. And
I
that
just
comes
don't
from
like the lack of effort. This team does not play hockey night in and night out on a consistent basis. They don't look hungry at times. You know, Mouth, you said it perfect when you said that this on my show. You said this team takes periods off at a time, and it's exactly right. You get. You know, last night they showed some guts and a little bit of anger, and then it just fades away into the distance. And they're such a fragile team. But you know what I want to know from everybody on the panel right now? I want to know, and I asked this last night. If you're the general manager, what's your decision now? Are you a buyer?
Resign.
Are you selling? What do you get?
Resign.
I sell.
Retire.
Jim, from your
You're
mouth to
cool.
God's ears.
but hold on.
I can't take this anymore. I have to retire. I'm sorry, Rick, your fan.
Then after he says the retiring part, you just hear a click of a gun.
Wow.
Seriously,
Jesus.
one at a time. Tell me how you, as a GM, what are you going to do here? Are you going to make the
Start
team better?
Mandar.
Are you going to try and make this team better the way it sits? or you're just going to sell off everything you can, try and just liquidate everything and start over again.
If I can say something real quick, I would not sell off everything I can. I mean, this is a fairly decent team. There are good players on here. They're just not clicking together. I think you just need to get a better establishment of players. You got big contracts with Redden, Roosevelt, Drury. Odds are they're not going anywhere. Jim might be right. Roosevelt might get bought out in July to free up money. I wouldn't trade for Kovalchuk, not if you're not going to be guaranteed to sign him. He could come to the Rangers, they make it to the second round, and they lose. Then Kovalchuk tries, thanks for the good times in New York. Great pizza. I'm going to go see where I can get a much bigger contract. To me, you need to make little moves, maybe get draft picks, build from the farm system, get the farm system up, start getting rid of some of these players that just aren't doing anything on the team.
But there's not much in the farm either.
Yeah, here's my problem. My first problem is that there's not a whole lot to sell, Paulie, that anybody's going to want to buy. And my other problem is that the guy doing the selling is pushing the shopping cart up all the wrong aisles. You know, I mean, you know, he's bounced off the ketchup display. He's walking through the produce aisle, dropping bananas. That's my problem is that, you know, I keep saying this team needs to be fixed. This team needs to be fixed. But, you know, the guy with the tools is just not handy.
You brought your car into a refrigerator repair, man?
Yeah.
But nobody's working here. Nobody's working here. Everybody wants to lay it off. Use your mind. What are you going to do?
Rangers...
How are you going to fix it?
Okay, here's the problem.
Go ahead.
Here's the problem. Mandar, I think, started to say it, and you know, a couple of others. The bottom line is, what is there that you've got to sell that somebody else wants and that you're willing to part with?
Well, that's the thing, right? You have a bunch of things that people don't want that you want to get rid of, and you got a bunch of things that you want to keep that the other people would want. It's
ding,
like,
ding, ding, got a winner.
I mean,
that's what it is. So what do? Are you a buyer or a seller at the deadline, or even from this point on? You're neither. Because you can't. You're stuck in where you are. And you think the gods of somebody will take Christopher Hickens off your hand for a freaking puck bag. That's about all you're going to get for that.
let me ask you a question.
And you could probably get something for Prosper, but it's not going to be much. There's just not that much there. And you know, when you put it all in the hands of Mr. Whoopi, he's gonna mess it up.
Let me ask you a question, guys. Christopher Hickens is an unrestricted free agent. Anybody who gets him could just walk away from him at the end of the year.
Exactly.
Eric Nystrom is an unrestricted free agent up in Calgary. He fits the north-south type game, has pretty much similar points to Higgins right now, and doesn't
Bobby's kid. I don't want him. Forget
it. I don't want him either.
I was just
going to
say a Nystrom on the Rangers.
But you know what? I understand that. But we have Trottier as a freaking coach because Cat Piss hired him. You know what? The guy who walks around the supermarket and smells like cat piss. Okay, so we all in agreement. But until somebody gets rid of the guy, we got to pray he makes one kind of a decent move. And the moves right now need to be get some unrestricted free agents. Get them off of the books at the end of the year and hope to God he has the good mornings to waive or buy out a Redden or a Drury next season and come up with $7 million in cap space and get rid of guys like Higgins and Leeson. And I know, Mouth, I know you feel sorry for Leeson because, like, you know, he gets the unfair shake from Torts. I feel sorry for him, too, but you know what? He ain't scoring goals. Get lost. And let's go after guys next year. Listen, there's a really good list of free agent guys that are those 15 to 25 goal scorers that will put up penalty minutes, will go north and south, and give Tortorella, and now this is me saying this, give Tortorella his team to put his stamp on him. And if he doesn't do it next year, then fire the guy. But right now, I think, Jimmy, you said it earlier, this ain't this guy's team. It's a mishmash of total crap, and he's trying his best to throw guys out there to get a couple goals a night. Give him one chance with guys that he thinks is his team, and let's get behind it. Because until Sather's gone, we're stuck with this guy.
Amen.
You're stuck with most of this mess. You know, and the best thing you can hope for when you look at this roster and you look at who's tradable is that you hope that a GM looks at a guy like Chris Higgins and says maybe a change of scenery does him good. you know, and is willing to offer you something better than a sixth or seventh round pick for him, you know. But other than that, there's just not much. There's just not. Between the contracts and underachieving, I mean, there's not much there.
I had started to write a piece, I was doing a lot of research on it, about comparing the Rangers' salary position, if you will, and roster pre-lockout, pre-CBA versus current. And I may have to revive that just because I think you guys would find it kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of ties into the whole thing that I was talking about, and a couple of folks were kind of egging me on in the chat room, that the answer is not buying out a Redden or a Roosevelt. It's burying them in Hartford. And you know, I don't want to go into it now. It's way too long and involved and too many numbers, and it's too late. But
Roosevelt is a much better candidate for a buyout than Redden. If they buy out Redden, they're paying him off until, I think, 2020 or
yeah,
maybe even
forever.
Beyond that. I mean,
it's
just ridiculous. But I think Roosevelt would come off the books, I want to say 2013 or 2014 if they bought
and
him
the
out.
Bottom, well, the point is you don't want to do either one. You just don't want to do it. I'll put the article together and I'll throw it past
you.
You
buy one and bury one. Now we got rid of both of them.
You bury both of them. It doesn't matter.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, you can.
I don't. Yeah, I thought there's a limit.
I don't think you can put that much money down there.
Yeah, you can.
No, I don't. My question's not about the money. I thought that your AHL team can only have so much NHL experience. I know this question's come up before.
Well, they have a veteran rule, which means that you can only dress a certain amount of veterans a night. I think at the current time, you can only have five guys in any lineup on any given night that have more than 3 years NHL experience.
It's a number of games. It's not number of years. It's a certain number of games. I forget what the exact number is.
I think it's 200.
I can actually look it up. I think it's higher than that, but I have it right here at my fingers. I could give me about five more seconds, and I can pull up because I actually asked Lori Carr about it, and it's 260 professional games. One of them can have 320, and it's seven players that can have that 260. So you can bury both of them because there's nobody.
You know,
Hartford
he said
right
one to Charlotte.
Actually, no. ECHL is the whole different animal. But the bottom line is, there's nobody on Hartford that basically has hardly any games because Dan Danault has been hurt. He hasn't been playing for like 2 months now.
Right, and they can do what they did with Piss Miller and get any team in the league that needs a veteran to play him. Because they just spread out.
Crack me up. I love it.
He's got great names. Great names for everybody.
What do you think, Jen?
I'm just listening. you know, I don't think that's going to happen, though, with Redden and Roosevelt going to the AHL. Perhaps maybe buying out the contract, yes.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't know all the legalities and the stipulations. I'd be curious to know, DB, because I know you're going to be hard at work on that, but I'd be real curious to find out how that goes. But, you know, we've talked about this, and DB, you said it before. I think we need to start back in the defensive line again. I think we all have agreed since the summertime that we need some tenacity back there, some real ugly nasty. We need to protect Henrik Lundqvist, if nothing else, back in the back line. And I'd like to see that addressed this year. I mean, you know, I don't care what we have to do. I don't care I don't care. We need toughness back there more than we need anything else at this point. And I think it addresses two things, because we can all agree that the team does not have enough toughness all around. I think we can address that with a defenseman. And I said this before, I think that whole Philadelphia Flyer game, I've said it a million times. I think Aaron Ashton running into Henrik Lundqvist sets the tone. that the Rangers can be bullied. You know, we've said this a thousand times, and, you know, and nobody does anything about it. It doesn't get addressed. If we do address it, at least this year, I would love to see Dion Phaneuf or you know, whoever else. I actually had a list yesterday when I did my show prep, but there's a couple of guys out there that got a little juice behind them that will be available either this summer or are willing to, you know, waive their no-trade clauses or whatever it is, and I think it's something that needs to be addressed. And I bet you...
Did we lose Paulie?
What happened?
We lost Paul. Yeah, we lost him.
Paulie.
He's gone. He's
cut
off the switchboard.
Off.
He cut himself off. He ran himself.
Sent out his hitmen.
The one thing I was going to say is Dion Phaneuf and Sean Avery on the same team?
Yeah, that could be a problem.
Yeah.
I don't even know if Paulie can call back in since the show's offline.
Are you suggesting that it might be a sloppy situation? Ba-dum-bum.
It might be. It might be.
Did anybody ever really think it was a great idea that they signed Donald Brashear after he beat the hell out of Dubinsky in that one game?
Yeah, that was, wow.
You mean Blair Betts?
Excuse me, yeah, Blair Betts. Yeah, same difference.
Yeah.
Both of them don't do much.
You know John Tortorella brought him here personally, right?
Yes, he did.
So let's not even get there about spitting on Ranger fans when they're down because your own coach did it.
Yep, that's the truth.
Yeah.
That's the truth. So, bottom line, you know, and I disagree with what Paulie was saying. I don't think that the toughness issue is necessarily throughout the lineup. I think if you look at the forwards, you've got some exceptions there. That Kotalik has been a waste. You know, a couple of the other guys. But if you look at the guys that are thrown when they choose to, and this is important because, as Mouth said and a couple of others, that there are nights where they seem to just, like, check out for a period completely. The whole team does. But on most nights when they're into it, like they were against, let's say, Pittsburgh last night, you've got Avery who's throwing it around when it's not the lobotomized Sean Avery, when it's the real Sean Avery. You've got Voros. You've got Leeson's been throwing the body around. So the toughness issue that I have is really at the blue line, and that's
mm-hmm.
where it needs to be addressed. It's the blue line and the blue line first, and that's where your problem is, and that's the first thing that needs to be addressed. And all we can hope is that the Jedi mind trick doesn't, like, look in a mirror and do it to himself and, like, trade away Dubinsky and Callahan for, you know, who knows who, some idiot, softy, you know, Kotalik the second, or maybe he'll bring Zhardev back.
Zhardev?
Oh.
What happened here? What is he going to do, though?
No, that was sarcasm. Again,
okay,
I didn't maybe. No.
I knew. I was just waiting to see if anybody had a reaction.
I was dead up. I'm like,
what? I'm not going to lie. I wet myself. I was a little worried.
Anyway, all right, folks. I got to get all this stuff put away. Next week, we'll see. Well, tomorrow night, we'll see. Hopefully see you for the pregame show, and then Saturday, I'll be at the game. And then Emil Francis next week. Can't wait.
Sounds good. Is Ricky still on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ricky, hey, man.
Oh.
Keep the good fight going. I've been supporting you every place I can.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
You got
hey,
it.
DB.
You have all our support, Rick. Anytime, man.
Well, when Kovalik is traded, we're going to have a big party, and we're going to burn Newsday.
Hey, DB, send me a text when you have that story put together, so that I can. So I want to make sure we have you put it up on a day where there's not much going on, and we can, you know, put it right on the main page and everything, and really feature it and let everybody get a look at it. All right?
No problem. I'll text you, and I think I have your email. I can email it to you, so you can put it up whenever you want. So either way.
Well, no, I want you to post it. Just post it as a fan post, and then I'll just move it to the front page.
All right, it's going to take me some time to work on it. I started it, and I got probably
about
half of what I wanted to do. It's going to be a couple days.
You'll have it done by midnight then, okay.
Yeah,
all right, everybody.
Hey,
have a good
around?
Night. Who?
The Mouth. Where'd he go?
Eddie? No, he sent me a message about 10 minutes ago. I got a bolt, and he just left.
All right, good night, guys.
Good night.
All right, good night, everybody.
Good night,
John, see you Saturday.
Jen.
Ken, thanks for calling in.